Well, good afternoon. Happy New Year. Welcome. It's Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVlantes. They will be back on Wednesday, January 3rd. Today, you have me to help you usher in 2018. Good to be here. Big show planned. Always more fun when you're involved. 312-981-7200. That's the number. That's how you reach me here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on an almost deserted Sub-Zero Michigan Avenue. I can count on one hand the number of people I see walking around today, which is quite a change from last week and probably last night, too. So 312-981-7200, I told you, that's the phone. That's also the text. If you call, you'll be talking to Camille. She is the executive producer of today's big broadcast. If you're nice to her, you get to me. That's how it works. You can also stay in touch with us via social media, Facebook and Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show. Happy New Year, Kim. Good to see you. It's a holiday.
Happy New Year
I know
to
I will.
You. Yeah, you know we're here.
I know I will always run into Kim. And look at who's in the sports department today. Unbelievable. Happy New Year, Mark Carmen.
Full privilege to be here today with you, Brian. Happy New Year to you.
This is a big day to be in the sports department.
It is.
It's very exciting. You probably thought earlier that you had drawn the short straw. You're like, oh, I got to work New Year's Day. And now, John Fox out, Mark Carmen in. The story will develop as the day goes on. Very, very exciting.
See your future, be your future. It wasn't all John Fox's fault. It was no surprise.
Oh, yeah, no. Come on, no surprise at all.
Yeah, no, but it's all.
I'm surprised they didn't make him take a different plane home yesterday. That was the only surprise, that they actually let him on the charter.
Bust him back from Minneapolis. That would have been a good plan. But, big news, no news, always good to be here. You know this, Brian.
I'm excited to see you. I was listening to your show the other night. Well done. That was Thursday night we last saw each other, so very, very nice.
God bless you.
Well, listen.
Checks in the mail. Maybe some towels.
Towels are nice. Always can use towels. Nice, big, absorbent ones.
I got a new towel connection for you. I'd like to send you a nice...
Is that right?
Yes.
You got a guy?
It's a whole company, a whole situation. So yeah.
A whole situation.
Yeah.
You're the only guy, Carmen, who's going to have a towel situation. I got a hook. Other guys are looking for maybe cars, groceries, some sort of liquor deal, an endorsement. You've got a towel situation.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to have a towel situation, but when you run into things that can make your life better...
Of course.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Never.
And when I get out of the shower now, it's a whole other animal, let me tell you.
Is that right?
Oh, it's so comfortable.
See, I'm that way. I have certain towels that I will use at the house, certain towels that I will avoid at all costs.
I'm feeling endorsement deal coming for you, Carm.
Yeah, Carm is looking at you. He's angling for me to go, hey, what's the name of these towels? So he can get some tape. I'm not playing into that. Unless I get a cut of this towel situation, Kim, I'm not stupid. We all use towels. Kim uses towels, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no,
She's a grown woman.
This is a situation that I wouldn't even divulge the manufacturer of these towels. This is under lock and key.
Did this come off the back of a truck?
I didn't say that.
Is that how you found these? Is that how you found a guy? He's down at the end of the block. You walk down and, hey, Jimmy! Jimmy!
Always have your eyes open in life. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
You know.
Sure, especially when you're hanging out at the loading dock at Macy's. I get it. I understand how you roll, Carm. That's all right. Man needs towels. How he gets them is his own business.
Business is business.
Who am I to judge on the first day of 2018?
Right.
I'm looking forward to 6 months from now when we're doing the story about you indicted on some big larceny charge for the towel situation.
That'd be one way to go down. He once was an outstanding part-time employee. Now... He is.
Now he's going to jail. He's going to the big house.
He's in the slammer with no more towels.
Yeah, ironically, no towels in jail.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. I don't know how they dry themselves.
These things happen. I don't think it's certainly not the comfort towel that I'm dealing with.
No, probably not. Right. That situation, that's unbelievable. Did you have a wonderful New Year's Eve? Did you do anything spectacular? A young single Carmen with his girlfriend out on the town? Did you go to a ball? What'd you do?
We went full old school. I think we were the youngest people at the Old Town School of Folk last night to see Over the Rhine, who would not be anywhere near a party band, but very nourishing, loving, all that, holding hands. It was a nice New Year's. I was a little unfortunate that there was we were supposed to go to dinner down the street. We got there about 8 minutes past 10. The kitchen closes at 10. They sent me away. Yeah,
you didn't do your research?
Oh, no, I did my research, and I was fully... I went into stalking mode, Brian. It was a little uncomfortable because other people were walking in after they shooed me away.
Uh-huh.
So this couple comes in after me, and I'm watching, and the next thing I know, I see the menus coming out, and they're sitting down at the bar.
Wait a minute. How'd that happen?
Right. So
So you go back.
I reemerged, and the maitre d' looked at me in utter horror. I'm like, are you seating them?
I said, wow.
No. I said, no.
Wait, did you have a reservation?
I Oh. Well, I was told that we wouldn't take reservations this late, but if I showed up at that time, that in all likelihood we would be seated.
In all likelihood, that's their out.
Right. But, Kim, Brian,
but if somebody got seated right after you, that's just... Yeah, ridiculous.
Are you filing some sort of lawsuit? Are you claiming discrimination?
I wanted to, but they didn't technically get seated for dinner. They only were having a drink at the bar. But the thing was that, like, come on, man.
Go to the bar and order food?
Right. Right. Yeah.
How hard was their 10 o'clock out for the kitchen?
Yeah. Like, I mean, who's working back there? It's New Year's Eve. I get that they want to get out of here and all that. But like the restaurant was bumping. Food needed to be made. People were going to have dessert. There's no way they were done.
So what did you end up doing? Did you just leave and wander down the sub-zero streets?
Shocking.
Hoping that you would find something to eat at that late hour?
Well, shockingly, I did actually plan ahead because they say that we'll most likely seat you. So I did have a backup plan, which was right next door.
Okay.
So we did segue to the Italian spot next door. But I very much was, it was disappointing. You know, New Year's Eve, you kind of get your heart set on one spot.
I know.
Yeah,
I know how it is. But listen, when you're going out that late, you gotta roll with the punches. It sounds like you did and you had fun. Kim, did you have a good New Year's Eve?
I did. Just a low-key, mellow hang out with some friends.
That's the best part. See, I hear Carmen going out even for a nice show.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, a nice show at the Old Town School, which, you know, that's where I take lessons up there. It's a beautiful spot.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are you taking lessons in?
Balron. The Celtic drum.
Excuse me?
Balron.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Good for you, Brian.
Thank you. But anyway, that's a nice, and that's a lovely area up there on Lincoln.
It is.
But I have no desire to be out amongst the people on New Year's Eve. None.
Me either.
ABC agrees with me. They don't want to be out with people either.
It was a miserable night out there. It was beyond freezing.
Well, that's just it.
And I would have loved to have been home cuddling with you, Brian.
Well, yeah, it would have been fun.
It's
watching some movies, and that was it.
Right.
We did our New Year's Eve stuff in the light of day yesterday. That's how, because I'm 107.
Well, I told you this earlier. I must be 108 because I went on Eastern time for midnight.
That's perfect. See, 11 o'clock. We could have gone, you know, you could go Great Britain time or Ireland time, which was, I think, 6 o'clock. You could have packed it all in by 6:30.
Yeah, and could even had the early bird, Carmen. They would have seated me.
Yeah, see, that would have worked, Carm.
Wait, hold on a second. Kim went smooch at 11 right to bed. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Well, I went smooch at my friend's house at 11, then got in the car and went home and was in bed by 11:30.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a half hour difference. What's the?
I think that's great.
Midnight somewhere.
Yeah, where were you?
Somewhere.
So you were at this Italian joint at midnight, Carmen?
No. We got all dinner was over at 11:45. We're like, what are we gonna do? So I'm like, well, we don't need to. Let's just be together at midnight.
Right. You are so romantic.
So we were in the car, full on in the car, rocking tunes.
Wow.
And
it's like high school again.
It was. You know,
get a sixer, a bottle of Boone's Farm, just park somewhere by the beach.
We had the box wine going in the car. Yeah, that's what we do.
Oh, man.
No, I'm a professional.
You know how to roll.
Right. Never would do that.
Do you have a towel in the car? Always have a towel in the
Always
car.
Always have a towel
that
in the car.
That might be more than we need to know.
Yeah, that's...
It's wet. There's stuff on the window. Your wipers might go out.
Yeah,
it's a towel situation. All right, listen, we got stuff to do.
It's a PG show.
We got to. Is it? Since when? We've got mentioning a towel. People have things in their car all the time for emergencies. All right, listen. Ben Bradley is going to join us on the other side, and we are going to find out some of the top stories and what a Ben Bradley does for New Year's Eve. Lots to get to. We'll do it after this on WGN. Brian Noonan in for Ro and Anna. They'll be back on Wednesday. I'll be with you tomorrow as well. Looking forward to that. Happy New Year. Hope your New Year celebration was great and you are having a, well, warm, at least, first day of 2018. Somebody who was off all last week, who was enjoying his holiday, we hope, Mr. Ben Bradley. Welcome back, Ben. Happy New Year.
Good to be back with you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So, listen, let's get this out of the way. Last week, Lourdes was lamenting that there had been some talk the week before about, some people taking care of the people who filled in for them while they were gone. And Lourdes, I won't say demanded, but I'll say she was strongly suggesting that perhaps you owed her some sort of libation because she was filling in for you last week.
She got me a giant bottle of Tito's, so I think it was a hint. Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that Lourdes was complaining a lot last week.
Well, complaining might be a strong term. I would say
whining is a more elegant term.
Lamenting is better. She was lamenting the fact that she was there and that you while she said you deserve to be off spending time with your children, she felt like she deserved a little something.
Now, she was very kind, and she does deserve something. She got a little something.
Very nice.
And,
there you go.
She was very relieved to find out that it wasn't me who had purchased the gift. My wife had purchased the gift. And that was the first thing she said. Oh, thank Molly. And I said, well, how do you know I didn't go shopping for you?
She knows you very well. Exactly. You're a smart man, Ben. Very nice.
We all know our role in this world, don't we?
There you go.
And she is off today, so.
That's very nice.
Yes.
Well, good. She deserves a day off.
She's working like 2 days this week. So.
And she was doing like 78 newscasts last
week.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You guys work tirelessly over there at Channel 9. How did the Bradleys celebrate New Year's Eve?
We got invited over to a neighbor's house. We do this every year, and the neighbor actually did a family Olympics.
Wow.
So everyone wore a jersey for their team. So our family was the Cubs. There's another family was the Blackhawks. Another family was the Fighting Illini. Do we call them the Fighting Illini anymore?
Sure, why not?
We do, yeah. And so then you competed in everything from ping pong to Papa Shot to Twister.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's crazy times in the suburbs.
It actually sounds like a lot of fun,
yeah.
And it's indoors and warm, so
yes.
That was perfect.
I can hear the producers behind me just laughing at how lame my New Year's is.
You know what? Those young people, they can laugh all they want.
Tell you what.
We've been there. We've done it.
I stretched beforehand.
Did you?
I wanted to make sure I didn't hurt myself.
Oh, if you had come in today after a Papa Shot injury, that would have been horrifying.
Nothing worse than when the sciatica gets going.
No. Yep. And you think they're laughing now, your producers.
Exactly.
Oh, I had a ping pong injury. Oh. Sorry, Grandpa. Let us get you a walker.
Actually, our six-year-old did have an injury that required, an ice pack.
Oh, no.
We did have one round of tears last night, which each year we get down. That was one. Next year we hope to have no tears.
Well, it's always good to set goals.
Exactly.
Very nice. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Things are getting more and more dangerous with the cold today. That's besides John Fox, that's the big story here. We talked the other day, there had been some fatalities chalked up to the cold. Have we gotten any new numbers? Has the holiday weekend...
We just checked in with our weather team, and the current temperature, we are told, is the high for today. Want to guess what that is without looking?
-2.
1 degree.
Oh.
So we got above zero. That's
okay.
The bright side.
That's good.
And the wind chill right now? 15 below zero.
Oh. And that's
good thing you're wearing your lumberjack shirt. Is that flannel you're wearing?
Yeah, it is flannel because it goes from being about 90 in this studio to sub-zero without a moment's notice.
Exactly.
So I could be hot now, and then in 20 minutes I could be freezing again. So I am. It's a holiday, Ben. Plus, I was out chopping wood before here. I
obviously
got to have a side business.
The other interesting numbers I was just looking over, aside from our frozen thermometer, are the murder numbers and
yes.
the Chicago crime numbers that came out. And, it's always interesting to me to read through the kind of press release and mm-hmm. the spin of the numbers. What they don't say is just as important as what they say. So Chicago did make progress, as you all have been reporting, 15% reduction in murders compared to last year or compared to the previous year, 21% reduction in shootings compared to 2016.
Right.
And these are...
That's something to be happy about, cautiously.
Right, but you have to remember that 2016...
was the worst.
Was... pretty bad. So I went back and looked at some of the numbers. So in 2017, we had 650 murders. Okay. 2 years earlier, we had 470 murders. 3 years earlier, we had 400 murders. So while 650 is a reduction, that is still 250 more murders than we had just a couple of years ago.
Now, and I know what the Eddie Johnson and the police department they've been touting these numbers, but some numbers came out for Baltimore today and they were able to pinpoint and give some reasons. Has the police department come out and said, we think while they've dropped, we still think they're higher than 2 years ago or 3 years ago because of these factors?
Well, it's interesting. One thing that Chicago police don't like is the comparison to other cities. One of their bullet points in their press release today was, and I'm reading directly from it, in fact, nearly one quarter of Chicago's neighborhoods have violence rates lower than L.A. or Manhattan.
Yes,
so they're touting that nearly 25% of Chicago's neighborhoods have violence rates lower than L.A. or Manhattan.
Right, but the murder rate is still higher than New York and Los Angeles.
Combined.
Yes, so... Yeah, I like your terminology.
Numbers,
the spin
between numbers and rate.
Okay,
they actually have a little bit of a different meaning.
Right, the numbers. Yeah, the murder numbers.
President Trump has periodically referred to Chicago as one of the most dangerous cities in America, and et cetera. And that is actually not true if you look at the murder rate, meaning your chances of being murdered. The per capita murder rate.
And that's where Baltimore jumps to the top of the list.
St. Louis, Rockford. For a while, was more dangerous when it comes to murders than Chicago.
And according to the press release today, 27% more gun arrests in 2017, which is always good.
And they're saying Chicago has long had more gun arrests than New York and in these other cities, and that shows you just how many more guns there are in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Is that it's kind of like for years Chicago Public Schools we used to. Kind of chuckle at their press releases that they would always, come out and say, hey, we've cut 20% of the, downtown school board headquarters staff. And then the next year it was another 20% the next year. And so, well, eventually they must have zero people working there.
Well, everybody's gone.
Yeah. So as you look at these numbers and these cuts, every year Chicago touts that it has more gun arrests than other cities. This year, in 2017, they say they made 27% more gun arrests. But the reality is we just have so many more guns.
Well, so those numbers we can take and we look at, and as you say, you analyze them and you take them for what they're worth. The one number that was really shocking, carjackings have gone up to the highest level in 10 years. Mm-hmm. While they can say some of the gun violence is limited to certain neighborhoods, the carjackings are citywide.
The carjackings have been occurring downtown. They've been occurring south side, north side, et cetera. So the overall, the citywide violent crime numbers, citywide crime complaints is actually the term they use. That fell by 2% compared to 2016. But you're right. Carjackings are certainly driving an uptick in some of the numbers, despite the fact that they've made progress on shootings and murders.
What are you guys covering on the broadcast tonight?
We're covering that. We expect to hear from Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager, coming up in our 4 o'clock hour. We will carry that live as he explains how they finally got up the nerve to fire John Fox.
It took them long enough.
Maybe it was that last loss that really...
Yeah, I think Saturday he was still on the bubble, but after yesterday, he was done.
Yeah, so we were going to carry that live for you. Tom Negevin is down in Joliet, where a car full of teenagers was shot up. Two teenagers were killed. So Tom Negevin is covering that for us.
Awful. Well, we'll be watching. Always good to talk to you. Happy New Year, Ben. Welcome back, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brian.
Take care. Bye-bye. Yes, we will also be carrying the Ryan Pace press conference live after 4 o'clock. I know Carm is running tape. Do we still have tape? You're recording digitally the sound. We'll talk to Adam Hoag. We'll get into that after 4 o'clock. But Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. They will be back on Wednesday. I'm here with you today and tomorrow. All right. I am guilty of this. My daughter was going out yesterday, and before she left, she hadn't driven her car in a couple of days. It was parked out on the street, and so I said to her, well, you got to make sure before you go anywhere, you let your car warm up. We've all heard that, right? You got to warm up your car. So I went out before she left. I cleared all the ice and stuff off it, and I started her car and let it warm up a little bit, and then we told her again this morning. She called from her friend's house and said, oh, I'm getting ready to come home. All right, well, let your car warm up a little bit. Well, I was giving bad advice. And if you've been told that, you have been getting bad advice. I know, Camille, I was as shocked as you. This from Popular Mechanics. They know a thing or two about automobiles. They say the common wisdom is that when you're gearing up to take your vehicle out in the cold, you should go outside, start it up, and let it warm up. Right?
That's what they say.
That's what I always do. Contrary to popular belief, this does not prolong the life of your engine. In fact, it decreases it by stripping oil away from the engine cylinders and pistons. Now, I'm sure many of you heard that sentence and understand exactly what that means. I defer to mechanics when it comes to that kind of thing, whether they're popular or not. But in a nutshell, once again, according to Popular Mechanics, an internal combustion engine works by using pistons to compress a mixture of air and vaporized fuel within a cylinder. Carm, you knew that. A compressed mixture is then ignited to create a combustion event.
It's huge.
It is. Do you warm up your car, Carm? before you get in there with your lady?
Depends on how late I am, Brian.
Exactly. When your engine is cold, the gasoline less likely to evaporate. Engines with electronic fuel injection have sensors that compensate for cold by pumping more gasoline. So here's the deal. Unless you're driving a 30-year-old car that has a carburetor, you don't need to warm up your car. What you do need to do, they say, is drive slowly for the first, 5-10 minutes to get your engine up to the proper temperature. But after that, sitting around and just letting it idle for 10 minutes doesn't do any good.
You know what? I think I'm just an intuitive genius when it comes to cars.
Is that right?
Outside of getting them stolen. So there's that. But that's what you do. You just go super slow.
Right. You take your time.
You let it warm up. At least you're making some progress. You can be happy about that.
I will say this, though. I will let it warm up. I'll start it and turn on the defroster while I'm scraping the windows to aid in my scraping.
Nothing wrong with that with the defroster. Never any heat. I think that's bad for the car.
Well, I think just running the car and letting it sit there is bad for the car. So, it's a leftover practice, they say. So just drive it slow. I feel bad now that I passed on this bad advice because my daughter's car is not 30 years old enough. But I do remember the carburetors where you had to. You're probably too young to remember this, Carm. Kim may remember this when people actually had to plug their cars in to a heater before people had, when not everybody had a garage. If it was this cold, you'd plug your car in to keep the oil from thickening up.
Are you serious?
I grew up in Kentucky, never got that cold.
Yeah, we didn't have a garage when I was growing up, and I remember my dad run whatever it was called, but he'd plug the car, he'd plug this thing into the house, the outlet on the outside, and then he'd run it into the car, and it was like a heated dipstick. So you'd drop that down in the oil, and it'd keep the oil nice and
viscous.
Well,
what about the fuel line?
Well, then you'd use heat.
Isn't that the issue too?
Yeah, but then you'd go to your local auto parts store, and I did this for my first couple cars. When it would get this cold, you'd go buy that bottle of heat. And you'd pour that in your gas tank, and it supposedly kept your fuel lines from freezing. That's all old school.
Old school auto. What year are we talking here, Brian Noonan?
47. 1947. In my, my old 1947 Ford. No, this was when I was a kid, so like early 70s, my dad would plug the car in.
Interesting.
Late 60s, early 70s. I was putting heat in the car in the 80s, because my old cars had carburetors. So,
I mean, we were a family of Oldsmobiles. Those things definitely needed something. So plugging in, I'm guessing, might have happened.
Yeah. So can I tell you when I was, I guess, a sophomore in college, I had a 1976 Capri. So this is like in maybe 85. And in Louisville, one time it got to like 10 below and no one else's car would start except for my 1976
nice.
Capri. Yeah.
Perfect. See,
all the fancy cars, nope.
I love that. I love when an old beater is the only one that still runs. We used to have that. Every once in a while that would happen. Everybody else would have a nice new car and ours would be, and it would start and you're running. But that was that. So I feel bad. Now I feel like I've done a public service announcement, and I will tell my daughter that she doesn't have to let it warm up. But somebody texted in, hey, I want the inside of the car to be warm. I don't care about the engine. Well, all right. Fair enough. Till the engine doesn't work and then. Then you're sitting there in a car that one won't start, won't get warm, and won't go anywhere. Awful.
This is valuable information,
Mark.
Thank you, Brian.
Let me tell you,
I'm here.
It's infotainment. I try to inform and entertain. That's what I do. It's edutainment, and I educate too. Did you buy your lottery tickets?
No.
What's
Why
the
not?
Now?
Oh man,
it's over 300 million. Right.
The Powerball is at 384 million. The Mega Millions, about 343 million. Mega Millions, of course, tomorrow night, the big drawing, and Powerball on Wednesday.
Let's do a pool.
Did you see? Oh, see, I would say yes to that. But I saw a story on the news yesterday about these waitresses. And they had always bought their lotto ticket. The owner of the restaurant always gave people scratch-offs as like teams. So say I gave Kim and Carm a ticket, and they won. They would split it. Well, everybody agreed to that. Until somebody actually won.
Right.
They won 300 grand,
stinks.
And the one waitress disappeared. Nobody knows where she is.
She has the ticket, obviously.
She cashed it. She cashed it in and then vanished. So that's why I'd be wary of pools unless we have some sort of legal contract. Because I'm not a... I don't need our money, our winnings, Kim, going to some towel situation. Carmen taking the 384 million or whatever we'd get, so we'd get 100-some million. split three ways, that'd be a nice chunk of change. But now Carmen is invests in some towel situation where right. he wants to become the towel king of the Midwest, and we're out of business.
Exactly. Way too complicated, too. Then you got to get lawyers and all sorts of stuff. Right. You just got to get your own lotto ticket.
Get your own lotto ticket. That's what I say. My wife and I do that. We get our own lotto tickets because we both know if we win, the other one is gone. Happy New Year. I just won $100 million. I'd leave her something. I'd give her a nice piece. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't go. She'd go. I wouldn't blame her, but I'd stick around just because then I'd be... You think I'm insufferable now. Wait till I'm incredibly rich. Then it would be horrifying.
I think that'd be great for your relationship. On that alone, Brian...
Just the threats of how I would be with money?
Yeah.
All right. Now, for people who thought I was nuts, Carmen especially, about plugging in cars, Jim wants to add something. Hi, Jim.
Hey, I love your show.
Thank you.
Brian, and it's playing on the radio. When I was young, when I was five, my stepfather was in the Air Force when we moved to Alaska.
Okay.
Every car had that little plug hanging out of the grill,
mm-hmm.
so you plug it in at night.
Yeah, I know. I saw that a lot when I was up in northern Wisconsin, too, in Green Bay, and a lot of places do that. My brother lives in Minneapolis. A lot of people do that up there, too. They still plug their cars in.
Oh, yeah. But the weird part was 11 years later when I graduated, or when I was turned 16, got my driver's license, I inherited the car that we drove to Alaska.
Okay.
Every kid in high school was asking me, why is that plug in the front of your grill? And it was like, so I could plug it in.
That's right. You had an electric car before it was trendy. Very nice.
Yeah, what do you got? Why do you have to plug in your car?
Well, if they had lived in Alaska, they would have known. Jim, thank you for the call. Happy New Year. I appreciate it. All right, Brian has a correction on this popular mechanics thing that I read. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. I'm going to kind of contest you on one thing you said.
All right.
I agree, and it's totally accurate that newer cars don't need the warm-up they used to.
Right.
But whether you've got a carburetor, if your car's that old, or fuel injection, your gas line can still freeze because all that is the little tiny tube going through the gas tank to your engine, and if it's going to be frigid cold and you're like not in the garage, it's a good idea to dump a can of heat.
Oh yeah. I was just going by what popular mechanics said about warming it up. I'm still a big proponent of putting heat and stuff in there if your car's going to be outside.
I must have misunderstood. I thought you said that really didn't do anything anymore.
No. I said the warming up, they said, doesn't really do anything to prolong or help the engine. It just, they say that driving it slowly is what actually helps the engine. But no, I think if you're going to be outside, like I said, I think my car used to run more on heat than it did on gasoline. I had so much heat in there. You know, you drop a couple bottles in there and then, hey, look, I got a quarter tank. I don't have to worry about going to the gas station.
Well, and that's another thing. Like, one bottle's fine. Two bottles doesn't hurt.
Yeah, exactly. If one's good, three's better.
Kind of like life.
Exactly. Well, Brian, Happy New Year. Thanks for the call.
Yeah,
Take care. All right. After 4 o'clock, we're gonna be hearing from Ryan Pace. Are you on the edge of your seat, Carm? Is this a big day for you? Is this like Super Bowl day?
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Ryan Pace is on the clock.
All right.
Let's see how he comes up with things.
How many times is he gonna tell us how great a guy John Fox is?
At least 5 times.
All right, and then we're going to wonder, well, if he's so great, why isn't he here?
Because
he can't win, that's why. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. You have been listening to the Ryan Pace press conference. Ted Phillips introduced him and announced that Ryan Pace's contract has been extended through 2021. A little bit of a surprise on my end, Carm, but when you're looking for a new coach, a coach wants to come in and know that his contract and the GM kind of coincide. You don't want to, because if you're a head coach and, you know, the GM is kind of a lame duck, that means you may also be a lame duck no matter what. Agree?
Yeah, but see, I like to be a little let's think outside the box on this for just a second. If I'm a coach, right, if I'm John DeFilippo in Philadelphia and I'm considering the Bears or whoever that the Bears are going to talk to, and they're not naming candidates right now, there's reports out there going to talk to the former Bears defensive back, Steve Wilks, who's now the Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator. As long as you're giving me 4 or 5 years on the deal, I don't care how long Ryan Pace's contract is. You got to sign me.
You got to pay me anyway, no matter what happens.
You got to pay me anyway. And with the way that Ryan Pace has gone about rebuilding the Bears, even though Ted Phillips just gave him the praise like they're about to win the Super Bowl, I'd almost be equally intrigued. Like, okay, I'll come work for you, and you better do a good job in the next 2 years, or else maybe I'll be working with a different GM, because I'd like to get some talent in here.
Well, it's interesting. You know, of course, there's no other way Ryan Pace is going to put it. I point the finger at myself. I take some responsibility. But then he said, oh, but I'm happier than I was last year at this time because, you know, we were aggressive. This is a quote, aggressive in our approach to addressing the QB situation. He seems to be putting everything, his reputation, on Mitchell Trubisky.
There's no doubt, and the main reason why John Fox is not here anymore, it's not the fact they went 14-34 over the last 3 years, second worst record of any coach in Bears history. It's the fact that they saw signs in Mitchell Trubisky that they're happy with, but I don't think they wanted John Fox to be the guy developing Trubisky.
No, especially since he was, some would say, and I would be one of them, holding him back a little at the beginning of the season.
Perhaps he certainly was better than Mike Glennon in the preseason, could have started, you know, right at the outset. But, you know,
if you're going to start a rookie quarterback, if you draft a guy at 2, you have to live and die with how he does. They weren't going to do any worse than they did this season, so put him in. Don't just have him hand off the first couple games. Let's see what he can do.
Right, but so that one to me goes back to Ryan Pace, because Ryan Pace went out in the offseason, signed Mike Glennon to a 3-year contract for $45 million, $18 of which guaranteed this year.
And then claimed that this was his year.
Yeah, and this was the plan. They were going to start the year with Glennon. We're starting with Mike, and we're going to bring Mitchell along slowly. Well, Mike was terrible, so Mitchell started after 4 weeks. But so it would have been real bold if John Fox had been like, you know, Ryan, your $45 million signing, $18 million which are guaranteed, is horrendous, and I'm going with Trubisky because he gives us the best chance. I mean, that wouldn't have been in sync with his GM. So it was a tough spot for Fox.
Well, it was, but at some point you have to look at what's going on the field, and you're the head coach.
You're right. That's your job. Who gives us the best chance to win? Bang.
Right, exactly. So his responsibility, as Ryan Pace taking responsibility. Ted Phillips announcing again, if you're just joining us, that Ryan Pace has been extended through 2021. I thought they should have just had Pace come out. But I guess Ted Phillips wanted to announce the extension because this is all about Ryan Pace. We never get to see him during the season.
Is that the most shocking thing you heard in the press conference, was that Pace was extended to 2021, Mark?
Yes, yes. I mean, I don't think people saw that coming. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to see Ted Phillips up there, president of the Bears. And everybody knows that Ted Phillips is not a football guy. He's more of a business guy, accounting background, all that. And you also know that when you look at teams in this town, especially, that have struggled for a long time, a la the Bears, the Blackhawks had a massive change when Rocky took over after his father passed away, and the Cubs had a major change when Theo and company came in with Tom Ricketts, and they ended up starting to win.
I was going to say, you have two success stories right there that you could follow that model.
Right. So when people look at the Bears, they want to see somebody else in that president's chair where Ted Phillips is at. That would be the biggest move. It would have been really interesting today if George McCaskey or Virginia or whoever had gotten up there and said, we are moving Ted over here. We are conducting a search to be a president. Ryan Pace is going to be here. He's going to work for that president. And we're also conducting a coaching search as well. That is what I think people would have really been excited about and wanted to hear. But instead, you had Ted Phillips up there, and you got Pace extended through 2021, which I don't think really feels exciting to anyone.
No, and you got Ryan Pace saying, listen, it's going to be a broad, thorough search for a new coach. He wouldn't put a label on what kind of coach they were looking at. Of course, everybody's theorizing that it's going to be some offensive-minded head coach. But then you've also got Vic Fangio in the mix. Now, Pace wouldn't say if Fangio was a candidate or not, but if you've got, you know, The defense was one of the few bright spots this season. The defense seems to be coming along. Do you bring up a defensive-minded head coach and then hope that he can find a really good offensive coordinator to come in under him?
Right, which is the situation right now in Minnesota, who has a great chance to go to the Super Bowl this year with Mike Zimmer.
I heard you making predictions.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. Let's jump ahead here. But,
yeah.
You know, Mike Zimmer, defensive-minded head coach, late 50s, similar to Vic Fangio. And they've got Pat Shurmur up there, their offensive coordinator, who's being looked at by a couple of teams as a potential head coach. Now, the Bears could do that formula. I don't think it's going to be Vic Fangio, which is unfortunate because Vic's been the best coach they've had at Hallis Hall for the whole Fox tenure. But Steve Wilks is a defensive guy with Carolina and very well respected around the game. The Bears are not going to be the only ones talking to him. So, and I thought it was interesting that Pace did say, we don't want to box ourselves in, offense, defense, we're looking for the best coach, which is the answer that he should be giving. So I did like hearing that.
All right, a lot of talk about John DeFilippo from Philadelphia. As you said, there have already been reports that an appointment has been set to talk to him. Explain to people, Carm, because I'm not quite clear on the timetable. There's certain rules with the NFL about when you can talk to a coach, if they're in the playoffs, if they have a bye week. There's a different timetable. Some coaches can be approached this week, correct?
Right. Listen, if the team wants to grant permission, they can talk. Some teams want to keep their coaches under wraps until the playoffs are over. John DeFilippo is coaching the Eagles, who are the number one seed in the NFC, so they're going to be playing. Now, they're not playing this week, though, because it is the wild card round, so the Eagles have a bye. So if they are going to talk to him this week, would make a whole lot more sense than next week when they're in preparation and they know exactly who they're playing. I mean, they're still preparing, but it's not the same level. So that I would assume somebody like that would be available.
And the buzz on him is because he was instrumental in turning Carson Wentz around, turning him into a high-caliber quarterback. So, you know, if you got Trubisky, let's bring in somebody who's done it already with somebody else.
Exactly. Number two overall pick, Carson Wentz. Number two overall pick, Mitchell Trubisky. They want somebody to, get... It's also interesting. They want someone to get Trubisky to the next level, but the coach is just one part of it, Brian. Mm-hmm. They need more talent. They know that. Whether they'll draft a wide receiver or sign a bunch in free agency, they're going to do a whole lot to make Trubisky's life easier and give him the best chance to succeed. I mean, that's what this offseason is going to be about, from the coaching staff to the draft to free agency. A lot of focus on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, if you're a head coach coming in, you're looking at the injuries on the Bears the last couple of years under John Fox, the enormous amount of guys on the IR. Does that fall on Fox? Does it fall on his conditioning? Why? If I'm coming in, I want to know, because Ryan Pace said, listen, John Fox changed the culture here, which in the locker room may be the case. But if you've got all these guys going down, and granted, injuries are rampant in the NFL, but there were a lot of people down.
Yeah, they have been near the top in player games lost the last 3 years.
Right.
So.
What's the issue? Where does it come from? Are they drafting and playing fragile men, or is it something from the top?
Well, see, the thing is that they've changed the way they've hit. They've altered their training camp schedule to kind of try to keep guys on the field. Then the blowback on that is that when the bell starts in week one,
they're not ready. They're not ready for the games.
They're not ready. I tend to look at it like, it's football, man. People are going to get hurt. You can do all you want to try and protect guys, but they're playing a violent game, and maybe the Bears, I would think it's just unlucky. But he did say, I was watching the press conference here, and as it's continuing, and Pace is saying that this is a huge issue and something they're going to be studying. I don't know what they're going to find. I don't know if there's any solutions there, but it's definitely something they're paying attention to.
Well, we've got, they're talking a lot about the guy from New England, Not Bill Belichick.
That would be Josh McDaniels.
No, Josh McDaniels, who's
41.
Who also had a shot as a head coach, didn't go so well for him, but now under Belichick, he's flourishing. He's coached Tom Brady, but they're saying that he may want more control, that, he wants Belichick kind of control. And the Bears aren't going to give that up. They just extended their GM. They're not going to give a guy, who's unproven really as a head coach, that kind of autonomy, right?
Yeah, I don't see that as a fit here. Josh McDaniels may want that control. The Giants are interested in Josh McDaniels. Maybe the Indianapolis Colts are in there as well. He's, you know, the Bears, strict vanilla, right? I mean, Dick Geron, Lovie Smith, yep. John Fox, Mark Trestman. I mean, I just fell asleep saying those names. Josh McDaniels is a far, I mean, you're on opposite end of the field. Total, you know, diagonal corner if you're going to Josh McDaniels. Now, it's interesting because he is well-regarded as far as the offensive mind, but he's a crazy man, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got in a screaming match with Tom Brady on the sidelines this year, which I actually kind of enjoy that you're not afraid of Brady, and Brady's dropping F-bombs all over him on the sidelines. That was a moment that was quite entertaining to watch. But I just think he's a little... There's a lot of interest there, and I don't think he really fits the mold of what they go for. So I wouldn't expect Josh McDaniels here.
A lot of texters coming in saying this is just a repeat of every Bears press conference for the last 10 years. They really say nothing, but what are they going to say? They fired the coach. That's what fans were screaming for. People were screaming for Ryan Pace. Well, he's not getting fired. They're buying in to his plan. Ted Phillips basically said, listen, Ryan's our guy. He's the architect of this rebuild, and you know, we're behind him.
Right. Which is, you know, rewinding to what I was, you know, I think what Bears fans would want is I'm Ted Phillips. I'm stepping aside.
Right.
And which we did not get today.
No, we did not get that.
So
at all.
I mean, Hamp and OB and Kaz, who I do the Bears postgame show.
I know. That's why you're the man.
They
because listen, you've survived another season with them.
That's 3 years I have not gotten killed. That's all good.
That's very good.
And Dan Hampton will be, I'm sitting in tonight, so he'll be on the show at 7:35. But those guys, you know, all want Pace out. And I think, and there's plenty to think that Ryan has done a credible job and deserves more time. So the Bears, obviously, I mean, the way Ted Phillips was talking, it was like the guy had won 3 Super Bowls already. So they definitely like Ryan, and they like his work mm-hmm. ethic. They like the way he communicates around the building, all of it. So, but he's gonna have to be better. The drafts, I don't think anybody could sit there and look at that roster and be like, you know what, Mitchell Trubisky is going to be a pro, you know, he's going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. How could you think that? Maybe he will. Maybe if everything falls right. But you can't really believe that right now. Nobody knows what he's going to be. And the other pieces where he gets high grades, like Jordan Howard, the running back, he's not going to any Pro Bowls either. I don't look at Jordan Howard like he's, you know, Eric Dickerson or Walter Payton in his prime. He's a, you know, a nice piece, but it's nothing super exciting. And they don't have anybody on the team right now, roster-wise, at least in my mind, that you should be... that you could build around. That's the guy. They're saying that it's Trubisky, but
he hasn't shown enough yet.
He hasn't.
Flashes, but there's not, you know, nothing consistent.
Major.
But then you can also say, well, maybe he hasn't shown it because he doesn't have anybody around him.
Right. You could say that, and it would probably be fair and objective and all that. But, you know, the Houston Texans stunk this year, except when Deshaun Watson was playing, who was a college football national champion, a Heisman Trophy winner with the number 12 pick selected in the draft, quarterback for the Texans before he blew out his knee. Can't predict injuries. That guy was on his way to being the MVP of the league. The Bears traded up 4 picks to move up 1 spot to get Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, to me, that's a pretty red.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a great look for Ryan Pace.
All right. In the list of potential, and there's a million lists of potential coaching candidates. My favorite name, of course, Jim Bob Cooter. He's the Lions offensive coordinator. Done a good job up there with Matthew Stafford. Has some character issues from the past, you know? Is that something that the Bears would say, well, you know, he's got some DUIs back in 2006, suspicion of aggravated burglary, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, the aggravated burglary is a beauty. Listen, the guy
falling into somebody's window and falling asleep in her bed and just his underpants.
These things happen. Alcohol is
do they?
Alcohol is a something. So look, he's Jim Bob. First of all, the Lions fired Jim Caldwell. I don't know if they would consider Jim Bob Cooter up there. I'd be surprised.
All right.
But he's been an offense coordinator the last couple of years with Detroit. He's also made his way around the league from the Colts to the Chiefs to the Broncos. I think young and, you know, aggravated burglary charge for getting into a bed with a woman climbing through her window of her apartment. And the line, look, the Lions.
This guy's named Jim Bob Cooter. Do you expect something less?
It's a great name. The Lions were also last in rushing the football this year, which is something the Bears do. Now, they don't have a ton of talent up there to run the ball, so there's that. And he has done, Matthew Stafford has gotten better up there under Jim Bob Cooter. So I don't want to completely trash Jim Bob Cooter, but I don't think he'll be the guy.
No, he's
Brian.
Not the guy. Well, that's unfortunate. Carm, thanks. You're in at 7 tonight?
I'm in at 7.
That's good for me to know. People don't tell me anything.
I figured you didn't know that,
but you were absolutely right. I did not. We're going to continue talking a little more Bears. Kaz is going to join us on the other side of the news.
Oh, cool.
For those of you wondering, hey, how come you're talking Bears? Well, it's the biggest story in town today. John Fox is fired. Ryan Pace contract extended. We'll talk to Kaz after the news, which comes your way after this on WGN. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. They will be back on Wednesday. I will be with you tomorrow. The biggest story in Chicago today, it's not the numbers about crime or murder. No, it's the fact that the Bears have finally done what people have been hollering for them to do. Well, since last season, and especially since midseason this year, they have fired John Fox. The big surprise at the press conference today, Ted Phillips announcing that Ryan Pace has been extended through 2021. A man you hear commenting on this every Sunday after the Bears game, win or lose, along with Dan Hampton and Ed Obradovich. The one and only Glenn Kozlowski joins me. Happy belated birthday, Koz.
Thank you, Brian.
And happy New Year.
Yeah, you too, and I'm sure you and your family are doing well. Your daughter is still in college, right?
Yeah, she's got starting her last semester next week. I can't believe it.
Oh, hey.
I know.
The payroll soon, huh?
That's it. Hopefully she can start supporting her old man somewhere in my golden years.
Yes, like immediately as soon as she graduates. Yeah.
You know, I'm well into my golden years, Kaz. Now, you guys have been calling for John Fox's ouster for a while. There was plenty of reason to do it, so I'm getting the news today, not a surprise. Were you surprised that Ted Phillips extended Ryan Pace, though?
No, because that's what the Bears do. And, when I say that, I don't mean this to slam the Bears.
Right.
I understand it. They want continuity. They want all these wonderful things. John Fox, keep in mind, this is a veteran coach that had a lot of success throughout his career. So it's not like all of a sudden he just forgot how to coach pro football. It was, as Ryan Pace, and if you listen to the news conference, Ryan Pace just blah, 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 blah. He's a young guy. He's in over his head. He's a horrible general manager, and yet the Bears continue to have full belief in him. I don't understand it, but I'm not surprised. Now let me ask you: Are you excited about Ryan Pace's new pick as the head coach? Because really,
what
qualifies this guy when he hasn't even picked a Pro Bowler in his three drafts? I mean, we'll see with this last draft, but really, I mean, we rated the first two, and it was a D minus a D, and then this last one is a C. So I guess, by extending them, maybe in 2 or 3 years, we may have an A draft, right? Where all the players are A players, but yeah,
How much Pace and Fox came in at about the same time. Did Pace have any input? I can't recall when Fox was hired.
Well, he did, but he didn't. He was a young GM.
Right.
He was. So, part of it was he got the job and they said, hey, take this veteran guy. I understand the matchup. And that's why I guess in one breath, see, here's the tough part. I don't ever like to see anybody lose a job. I mean, across the board for anybody. John Fox, I mean, he's going to be okay. He's done exceptionally well in his life. He's a successful man. Ryan Pace, for everything I know about Ryan, he's a sharp guy. He works hard. He's a hard worker. He's a kid that grew up loving the Bears, so he has all those wonderful qualities. But bottom line is he gave Mike Glennon $29 million, guaranteeing, 18 whatever this year. Actually, I guess 29 total, right, because his guarantee is signing bonus plus what he paid him this year.
And then two
months later, he moves up, gets fleeced by John Lynch, who just took the job in San Francisco the week before, And, you know, basically John Lynch played along with the story that a bunch of teams were interested in moving up to get our quarterback. And so, of course, Ryan Pace jumped on it immediately and threw a deal together. So those are all bad signs.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
I see the path you're going down, Kaz. It makes a lot of sense.
Bad. And, look, I like what he did with our Howard. I like Cohen. You know, Trubisky, I think a lot of Trubisky's problems were coaching. His feet were together. He had bad form. He wasn't stepping. I mean, these are – now, again, keep in mind, these are things that I'm watching on TV that I could correct with the guy.
Sure.
And I'm not a quarterback coach in the NFL, but I can correct it. I see what he's doing wrong, and you should be able to fix it. So maybe, you know, in the end, Ryan Pace – has found some talent, and you know, maybe you give him his shot. Well, it doesn't really matter. He's going to get
more time,
and he's the guy. And I just, you know, the fear is this is the guy that signed Mike Glennon, and then 2 months later brought in another quarterback that was a little better, but then held him out for the first four games because they wanted to have the statue out there. And by the way, you know, Cohen has a higher quarterback rating than the statue.
Mike Sign Glennon. Him up. Put him up. Put him. You know. Put him as the backup. You don't need him. You don't need him running.
I mean,
just let him throw.
Yeah, have our 5'7" kid who has a 39.8 quarterback rating, which is a couple of points better than Mike Glennon.
Give him. It's his year,
buddy.
It's his year, cause
it, right.
It's that's just how it's going to go. It's going to be perfect.
Well, it's, you know, look. It's a good day in one regard, because at least now I think the coaching will improve, or at least you hope so,
right?
And it's been awful.
Let me ask you this though: if the personnel doesn't improve, can the coaching improve? Can a really good coach take inferior product and mold it into a team that, you know, let's shoot for the stars, maybe make the playoffs?
Well, let's think about the games that they lost this year. I could think of five games that if they were even remotely coached well, they would have won.
All right.
Right? I mean, just a below-average coaching staff. You know, so what does that make them? 10-6 now instead of 5-11? I'm saying, say that about every team in the National Football League. But let me ask you, if you have Belichick on the sideline with the group that we had on the field, do you think he could have gotten 10 games out of him? I think he could have.
He could have gotten a couple more wins, sure.
Yeah, for sure. And so now it's a whole different deal. And, you know, so as bad as I've harped on Ryan Pace and the talent, there's still enough talent there to compete and win, because the NFL is really, you know, it's a different league now. It's a passing league. But here's the tough part. It's a throwing league. You got to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And Ryan Pace has been here 3 years and still can't give us a number four receiver. Forget a number one. I mean, you know, the guys that are on his roster right now, none of them would be anywhere else in the league.
Yeah, it's amazing. So that's going to be what they have to look for in the draft. Now, Ryan Pace said, listen, it's going to be a coordinated effort for the next head coach, but the final decision is going to be mine. If you were sitting in that office, what characteristics are you looking for in the next coach, and who do you see as a forerunner, a front runner?
Well, I think you're going to see, because the NFL is a trending league and they like to go the sexy route. And they're told, you know, they put out a list of potential candidates, and the NFL has a lot of rules where you have to interview certain guys. And, you know, again, a nice rule is a minority coach interview, which I think is important in the National Football League.
Yeah.
That they continue to push that forward. But ultimately, I think he's going to end up with a young offensive coordinator and try to catch lightning in the bottle like the Rams did, or even in Buffalo, which is now in the playoffs, right?
Right.
By, back at, or, you know, winning their game. So I guess that I would venture to guess that's the direction he goes in. And he's, you know, Ryan Pace is a real young guy too, so maybe it works well. I do know that, you know, if he can get a quality coach. And when I say quality, not that John Fox wasn't a quality coach, but his time had run out. It's like anything, right? We all have a timetable when we're not funny anymore.
Expiration date, Kaz.
Right. So, you know, hopefully he gets a young quality coach, and yeah, it could get, well, it should get better, right? Because we could
can't really get worse.
Wins out.
Yeah, it can't get too much worse.
No, well, you know? That's a good, well, let's hope not, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2018 motto. Can't get much worse.
We're the Bears. You know, Ted Phillips isn't going to go anywhere. Carm was saying that's, you know, that would have been the move today, right, Carm? If Ted Phillips had, the McCaskies had moved him somewhere else. Ted Phillips is staying in his position. Ryan Pace is staying in his position. We'll get a new coach. We got a quarterback that they're banking the future on, so... You know,
yeah.
Here we go.
I mean, I just thought that Bears fans would have been excited today if you saw George or even Virginia or something crazy like that up there saying, we're making changes within the organization. We're sliding Ted over into a business role. We're actively searching for our next president who will just be a football guy. Ryan is going to stay on and we'll work with him. We're not obviously extending him, and we're looking for a head coach as well. Like, I mean, Kaz, everyone's saying that they extended him because he will be getting the same amount of years then as the next coach. You want to have that synergy. If you're a head coach and they're offering you 4 years, do you really care if Pace is only signed for 2 years?
No, of course not. So, yeah, I mean, they needed to do what they did. Everything they did was chalk, and so that's why they did it. Mm-hmm. I still look. The McCaskies, Ted Phillips, everybody wants to pin it on them. And the truth is, you need a football guy. He doesn't have to be the president. He could be the GM. And he has to identify football players and real coaches. And you could win in any organization. So I hear, you know, I get the frustration because it's been a disaster. But remember, that under Ted Phillips, they went to the Super Bowl with Lovie Smith as the head coach. So it's not like Ted Phillips hasn't had success as the president, right? So it's hard to, I get, you know, it's hard to make that argument to say, oh, you just got to blow everything up. It really just comes down to having really smart football people in charge, meaning in charge of the football operation, identifying players, and then finding smart coaches that play the matchup game, because that's what the NFL is all about.
Well, so we will.
It
we will
be done.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope somebody figures it out, because it's been a long time coming. We've fans have been sitting through a lot of really bad football. So
you think, you know, the best part though is our motto this year is it can't get worse.
That's right.
It
can't get worse.
For 2018. It can't be worse.
Can't be worse. Yeah. Well, Kaz, it is always a pleasure to talk to you again. Happy birthday. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, you got it.
Take
Ryan
care.
Noonan, like always, still, so your expiration will never run out because you're still a funny guy.
Oh, I appreciate that, Kaz. Love you. Talk to you soon.
You got it. All right,
take care. Bye-bye. Glenn Kozlowski, everybody. All right, let's do this. And then, oh, man, were you a knucklehead last night? Did you do things you shouldn't have done? Were you, you know, did you walk into a restaurant after the kitchen closed and demand to be seated? I don't know what you did last night, but I'll have some tips if you were... If you were a bad, bad person, how you can maybe dig yourself out of the hole. We'll do that after this, WGN. All right. I know Mark will be talking more Bears when he comes in for Justin Kaufman. It's 7 o'clock. Dan Hampton joining you at 7:30. Is that what you said, Carm? I'm sorry, didn't Ray. I know you're writing sports. You're getting ready for the news.
We got stuff going on up here. My bad.
That's right.
Dan Hampton will be with us at
7:35.
I think we'll probably lead off the show with Adam Hoge as well.
Very nice. So Bears heavy after 7. Well, you've heard it here. You've heard it from Carm and me and Kaz and Ryan Pace and Ted Phil. You heard it from everybody. All right. Last night, maybe you were out. You were imbibing. Because it's, you know, a lot of people say it's amateur hour. I'm one of those people. I remember back in the day, you know, wanting to go out on New Year's Eve and get a little goofy, have a few too many cocktails, do some things. Maybe that was you last night. Maybe now you're, you know, you woke up late today, you did whatever it is that you do for your hangover, and now you're thinking, oh man, I think I may have made a buffoon of myself. What can I do? Well, here's a plan of action. In case you were not so nice last night. Number one, check your phone. You might not want to be confronted with truly painful text you send the guy who ghosted you at 2:07 a.m. Much better to know exactly who you've called and texted so you can be prepared for any response. Yeah, see, that's if you're drinking, best thing to do is put your phone away, because no good conversation is going to happen. It's one after, you know, midnight, 2 o'clock. Two, after about 17 Jack Daniels, nothing, you're not going to write anything coherent. You're not going to have a coherent conversation, but this way you can check. Your phone can also be a handy way to track your movements from the night before. I guess I've never, I Listen, I've had fun in my time. I've never had to track my movements.
So last year, one of my friends, we lost him.
You lost your friend?
Yeah, he kind of just went on his own. And we had to, you can go into your phone, see where your phone's been.
Really?
Because he had our another friend's phone. He was holding on to it for her. And we tracked the next day where he went.
Wow, so you were able to follow his little escapades.
Yes, he went to a church.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
In the middle of the night?
Yep.
Was there a service going on?
You know, to this day, I don't think we'll ever get the real answer.
Listen, you never know when you need some good churching. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning.
He needed to go.
Little good orderly direction. There you go. Number two, you're supposed to get ahead of the story. It's much better for you to be the first to address what you did than to have everyone laughing at you about your misdemeanors in group chats or whatever. So message your friends if you're having trouble. If perhaps you were Camille's friend and you had no idea where you were, then by all means, text your friends and go, hey, where was I? What did I do? Because I'm not quite sure. I remember up to a point, and then there was a big statue of Jesus. I don't know how that, you know, actually became a thing. So get out ahead of the story, and then don't pretend it didn't happen. If you find out that you did, in fact, say something horrible to someone, or do something, or vomited on somebody's sofa, or in their car, whatever it is that you did, own it. Don't try to pretend it didn't happen. Don't ignore it. And even if you kind of think it maybe happened, don't trust the fact that other people aren't going to remember, because they're going to remember. They're going to remember every little thing, and then you're in big, big trouble. Apologize. That goes without saying. Once you realize what you've done and who you've done it to, then it's best to just apologize. And here's the other thing. Don't apologize and then say, man, it was because I was so drunk. Nobody wants to hear that. Just apologize. Straight up apologize. Own your behavior. And then move on about your business.
Well, and it's the new year too. Don't start out on a bad foot.
No, exactly. You know? Yeah, you don't
keep
want
it, keep it good. Keep it clean for at least 24 hours.
Exactly. Go in. As I said, own your mistakes. Like Kim said, you start the new year on a fresh. Oh, everybody's happy because people will accept an apology. They know you were drunk, and if you apologize, unless you did something truly, truly horrendous, you know, you set my car on fire. I'm sorry isn't really going to do it. But, you know, you got sick, you said something you shouldn't have said, all right, we can figure that out. Thank people who helped you out. If somebody traced your movements or carried you out of a bar or put you in a cab to go home, then by all means, thank them. You know, and that's also you're kind of, again, accepting that you were maybe a goof. And finally, do not fall into a spiral of shame. I do. Well, do it for a while. But no, don't. Everybody's been stupid. Everybody's done some things. If you've apologized, if you fixed the things that you damaged, you thank the people who help you, then that should be enough. And maybe learn from it so that next year you are not the biggest goof at the party. Because I see, man, I remember those days. And thankfully, for a lot of years, I was entertaining. You know, I was working at clubs and stuff, so I was what people would do on New Year's Eve, and I got to see so many people behaving so, so badly. Now, you know, back before that, I'm sure there were times when I was guilty of those sins myself. But with age comes wisdom, right, Kim?
Absolutely.
That's right. Carm, you'll wise up one of these days. You're still a young man, you know.
Thank you for the optimism, Brian.
You'll know that you have to make concrete reservations. You can't go with, you know, if you wander in, there's a good chance you might have a seat.
That's exactly right.
But it was okay. He recovered. He had a plan B. He had a backup.
Yes, he did have a backup. So good for his, and it worked out.
Had a nice beef short rib ravioli.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It was nice.
And your lady friend was there. You got to usher in 2018 together. That's all that's important.
You just made me think about the fact that there's a little chicken that's left over. I'm a little hungry.
Did you bring it with you?
I did not.
That's
was a
not
mistake.
Good. That is a mistake because you're here till 6 tomorrow morning, aren't you?
I am.
You're doing every show.
Well, this is my New Year's resolution to starve myself. So
is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not a good way to go.
Well, the goal is, you know, I'm dealing with like that skinny fat thing here, Brian, so I might as well just go full.
The skinny fat thing?
You know what skinny fat?
I know what skinny fat is. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You got a nice solid waistline going on, but then you've got a, you know, you got a little turtle, you got a situation.
Some jiggles, yeah, right. Some situations. You got a lot of situations. Towels, turtles.
Right.
Too many situations.
So
top five at five on the other side of the news. This is Chicago's very own. I don't want to make it an interrupting situation, but you know, time is the tyrant. You're playing that about Kim, Camille? Because I don't think that's very nice at all. Brian Noonan in for Ro and Anna. They'll be back on Wednesday. I'm with you again tomorrow. All right. I'm watching, there's some monitors on TV here, and I still don't understand these poor reporters, these poor TV reporters that get sent out in this weather to tell us how cold it is. I mean, if you're down covering a story, that's one thing. Do you miss that, Kim? Do you wish we would send people out on the street? Do you want to go out and cover something for me?
Not at all.
No? All right. You want to go stand outside the Showcase studio and tell me how cold it is?
I was out there earlier. I was going to actually try to take a longer walk because that's a New Year's resolution, is when I'm at work to get up and just stretch my legs for 10 minutes.
Sure.
And I walked across the street, and I'm like, I'm going as far as Starbucks. That's all I can do.
I guess I broke
my New Year's resolution already. Well, but I did get up and walk.
Yes, you got up and you walked.
As planned.
Well, there's, you know, what do you, unless you're going to walk inside, there's no reason to be outside if you don't have to be today. It's one of those days where, one, a lot of people still celebrating the holiday, so you don't have to leave the house. And two, if you do have to leave, you know, crucial errands only. Now I do sound like an old man. Only leave for things you definitely need. My wife and daughter were going out to Oak Brook to shop, and I was like, what? You're going to go out and walk around outside today by choice? Well, I need to get something. All right.
There's lots of indoor malls in Chicago.
There are a lot of indoor malls in Chicago. I pointed that out too, Kim, and you would have thought that I was speaking Chinese. A lot of my ideas, they're poo-pooed at the house. You know, I guess there was some store my daughter had to go to, so they were going out there. I was like, all right, good for you.
Is tomorrow considered a holiday? Ro and Anna are off. I'm wondering if the rest of the world is, too. Or are they just taking an extra day?
No, they're Ro and Anna. They get an extra day.
Okay. So everyone's going back to work tomorrow.
I would imagine. I haven't seen some of management in like 3 weeks.
It's such a good time of year.
Yeah, you come in, nobody's around. Isn't it beautiful?
Like, nothing matters. Everyone's somewhere.
Except us. We're here, which is holding down the fort, which is terrific.
Which is great.
Yeah. I like to wander in and see the, you know, all the executive offices dark. You know, Christmas gifts still hanging on door handles because people haven't been here. That's how long some people have been gone, that there's still gifts sitting outside their offices.
Well, and we deserve it. We've worked hard all year. You should have this time off.
Yeah, okay, sure. Everybody deserves some time off.
It's good for the soul, Brian.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Well, I'm soulless, Carm. That's why I work during the holidays. That's exactly why.
Well, but it's not work for you. You love it. I do. So
busting rocks is work. You know, having to be a firefighter in this weather, that's work. There's a lot of people who really work hard. You know, teaching is hard. Teaching is work.
You did just paint a picture of working in radio, though, or TV. Go outside and tell me how cold it is.
Yeah,
that is work.
Yeah. Go stand in an overpass. Tell me how bad traffic is. Run to the airport. Tell me it's going to be crowded. Okay. Fantastic.
Where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Let's quit hesitating. It is time for the top five at five on the Rokan Show. We will start out at
number five.
That's a good place to start. CNN reporter Randy Kay celebrated New Year's Eve Colorado style.
It's going great. I'm definitely earning the nickname Kush Kay, that's for sure. All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Everybody knows what Kush is. So, listen, I came prepared, you know, this year. I thought maybe I would bring a gas mask with me so I wouldn't, you know, get that contact high. But look at what's on the other end of the gas mask. Yes, a bong.
Yeah, you got to like that. She's doing bong rips on the air while Anderson Cooper just watches. Kay was reporting live on a Canna bus in Denver as part of the CNN New Year's Eve coverage. The bus was on its way to a push, pass, and paint event. Puff Pass and Paint? Okay. Listen, thanks, Camille. Puff Pass and Paint. Co-host Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen were obviously embarrassed by the whole situation and were at a loss for what to say. So she's getting high on air, doing the bong rips. Good for her. Man, oh, man.
It's a new world out there.
It is, I guess. And, you know, when you're in Denver, you're a mile high anyway, so you might as well just keep it going. Get on the cannabis.
Well, she had a medical condition. And that
did
was,
she? I don't think she needs it in Denver.
You don't need a medical.
No. Not out there. You just want to get high.
Right down the street, ripping bongs, that's legal?
Yeah.
Really?
On a cannabis, sure it is.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm CNN, if I want my reporters, you know, wearing a gas mask bong on New Year's Eve or any day.
Well, last year it was Don Lemon and having his moment in time with the alcohol.
Every year. And then usually it's Kathy Griffin. Kathy right. Griffin was something outlandish to say, but she's been banished, so she was out. Yeah, you've been out there. I mean, come, you walk in, you get yourself some edibles or whatever it is, you wander around.
I love Colorado. 300 days of sunshine.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow.
Great place.
That sounds nice. I've been to Colorado. It's beautiful. I have not gone into the dispensaries. We drove through this summer, and there was discussion in the car, hey, we should just stop and go in because it's legal. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. My daughter wanted to stop and get some, gummies. I was like, no, I'm not going to. The first time either one of us do this, well, the first time I do this, I'm not doing it with my daughter on a road trip.
Good choice.
Yeah. I thought I was a responsible parent.
I thumbs up.
Thank you. It's sometimes I make a good decision. That's all I'm saying.
Number four.
Speaking of bad decisions, Mariah Carey did not repeat her awkward performance on New Year's Rockin' Eve this year. Carey sang live and even poked a little fun at last year's disaster.
A sip of tea, if they'll let me. They told me there would be tea. Oh, it's a disaster. Okay, well, we'll just have to rough it. I'm going to be just like everybody else with no hot tea.
Oh, no hot tea. That's in Carm's rider. That's why every day there's a pot up in the sports department. Every time Carmen's here, and we actually have tea coming in here at 7 because he will not perform without hot tea.
I love Argo tea. One thing about us leaving this building.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right? That Argo tea right next to the Showcase Studio, that's huge.
All right.
They know me over there, and Brian.
Do they? What's your order?
My order is, would you please stop taking out of the free tea dispenser, sir? Okay, fine. I'll buy something. Let me get a green tea,
wow.
please.
Wow. They have free tea over there?
Yes. Two different flavors. It's delicious.
Wow. After the performance, while speaking to Ryan Seacrest, Carey said, quote, I'm feeling a lot better than last year. Good for you, Mariah. All right. Mariah Carey. What's her expiration date? I guess she sounded okay in that clip, but come on.
I was gonna say, she did sound good.
Who brings her back? Who's the producer that says, you know what, we got so much pub last year on the train wreck, we're going to bring her back. Then you're fired. If that's the best you can do, there's no other singer who can croon on New Year's Rockin' Eve.
She's only 47.
I'm not saying she's old. I'm just saying, come on. There's got to be somebody newer. That's just me.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's a lot of
artistes out there. We don't need to keep rehashing. You know, you're still bringing Ryan Seacrest back. The man's on 72 TV shows. I don't need to see Ryan Seacrest every day that many times.
New, fresh. Give somebody a chance. That's
right.
What you're going. Okay,
fresh.
I could feel you.
Carm has a towel situation. Bring him on. Let him host. You know, let people go on Twitter talk about his skinny fat situation.
Enough with Mariah.
Yeah,
harsh, Brian, but I get you.
Well, listen, as a guy who deals in hot takes all the time, Carm, I thought you would appreciate a hot take. Mine is I've had enough of Mariah.
That's fair enough.
Does that take hot enough?
I'll join you. Mariah Carey is done. Never want to hear from her again.
Wow. There you go. See, you took it up a notch. That's what I like.
Number three.
And then you look at Chicago. What's going on in Chicago? I said the other day, what the hell is going on?
Really? You said just the other day? The violence in Chicago has been a key talking point of politicians and especially the president this past year. But today it's been reported that the murder rate has gone down.
We all know that we came off a horrible 2016 and we made a commitment to the city to not repeat that in 2017. So that resulted in 121 less murder victims this year and 765 less shooting incidents.
There you go. That's Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. 2017 saw a decline in murders of 16%. In a statement from Chicago Superintendent Eddie Johnson, he said, quote, "I am proud of the progress our officers made in reducing gun violence all across the city in 2017, but none of us are satisfied. In 2018, we are going to work to rebuild on the progress we made last year to reduce gun violence, to save lives, and to find justice for victims," end quote. All right, we will continue the top five at five in just a couple of minutes right here on 720 WGN. All right, we are in the midst of the top five at five here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes. Again, Ro and Anna back on Wednesday. Carmen questioning their vacation schedule. I don't have any, I have no control over that.
I wasn't questioning.
You're just asking if tomorrow is still a holiday.
I just want to know if people are working tomorrow, because I'd like to not work tomorrow, but I guess I'll be working tomorrow.
No, I think regular folks are, most people are working tomorrow. Yeah. I think most of the shows are back. I think there's just one extra day for Rona.
Kids, though, are still off of school till the end of the week.
Yeah, I know the school district I was teaching in doesn't go back till next Monday. So schools are off. College kids are definitely off. They've got another, like, 6 weeks. They don't do anything.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think tomorrow, I think Cochran's back tomorrow and John and...
Normal traffic, all that.
Yeah, everybody's back, Carmen. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you on the schedule
tomorrow? I don't know why. No. I'm thinking about, I'm like, are people showing up at my other place of business? Will people be at the old fan side of tomorrow, Brian?
Of course they will.
They'll be there, huh?
Listen, you can only have off for so long. Then you got to go back to work.
I just need one more day. Just give me one more.
But then that one day turns into what? Another. And then suddenly you're a layabout.
Yeah, but see,
you got nothing going on.
If you go one more, then you're already at Wednesday, and then now we've really moved the week along nicely. That's all.
Is that it? Okay.
I don't.
Then you go, well, it's Wednesday already. Why be even bother?
I think
we'll just call
it
a wash till
Monday.
Don't
want to do anything anyway.
Oh, definitely not.
Right. And I mean, working after, like, you should be able to enjoy New Year's and not have to think about going to work the next day. The standard non-entertainment person.
Well, you enjoyed last night, New Year's Eve. Today's New Year's Day. You relax. You watch a little football.
And then you get one more
day
of relaxation.
Eat some chili, and then you go, to work.
Jan 2 should be a holiday.
Wow.
The recovery from
Jan. I agree, especially when it falls on a Sunday and a Monday.
Right.
Well, then I think the 26th of December should be an automatic holiday,
too. Well, isn't that Boxing Day across the rest of the world?
Well, in a lot of places, it is Boxing Day. We don't. I'm here, So, all right.
I'm fighting for the people here, Brian.
I know you are, and the people probably appreciate it, as one of the people who it wouldn't affect, whatever. We'll go move on. Number two. Andy Cohen asked Dave Chappelle, quote, if he became president, what would his first official act be?
If I were president, what would my first official act be? That's
yes,
a tough
sir.
One, man. Every weekend would
really?
Be 3 days.
Wow.
See? Yes. Every weekend would be 3 days. I would fight tooth and nail for that.
Now, there's a man fighting for the people. At Dave Chappelle, every weekend is a 3-day weekend. But then we would get lulled into that false sense of security, and we'd say, well, if we got 3 days, why not 4 days? I want one more day. It's the deterioration of the society. Cohen did not ask Chappelle about the controversy surrounding his new Netflix special. People have criticized the special for being insensitive to the sexual harassment victims of Louis C.K. and Kevin Spacey. All right, now we move on to...
Number one.
Thank you, Orion. Yes, number one, the biggest story in Chicago today, John Fox has been fired as the Chicago Bears head coach.
This is a difficult day. Early this morning, I informed Coach Fox that we were going to head in a different direction. Shortly after, he addressed his staff and the team. I have the utmost respect for Coach Fox. He's a great friend, and I want to thank him for the last 3 years as our head coach.
Wow, it almost sounded like he was giving a eulogy, didn't it? He fired him. He didn't kill him. He didn't take him outside and execute him. He just let him go. They paid him off, and he's gone.
It would have been. He could have thrown in there, Today we fired John Fox. We feel bad, but next year he'll make $4 million to do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, talk about one more day to get paid to do nothing. A whole year. Yeah, see, that gets lost in people's upsetment. And you know, as Kaz said, and I agree, I don't like to take joy in other people's suffering. I don't like to see people lose a job. But if you're going to lose a job, getting a guaranteed $4 million is a pretty good way to lose a job.
No question.
You know, if you or I get bounced out of here, Carm, nobody's giving us $4 million next year to sit around and do nothing.
No, $4 would be optimistic.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody's going to give you $4? Who's that?
Right.
You must know people.
That being said, people, this is what they do. It's not about the money. He's a football coach. He loves being that and loved being the head coach of the Bears. So I get all the sadness there. But, I mean, he's...
we're not doing a towel drive for John Fox.
Right.
He's and all set.
He's in his 60s. He's had an incredible career. We don't need to have a pity party for him.
No. He has the second worst winning percentage as a coach in franchise history. It was not a shock to anyone who follows the team. Several players have expressed their disappointment in Fox being fired. Running back Jordan Howard tweeted, Foxy, things didn't go the way we wanted, but I appreciate you for taking a chance on me and believing in me when everybody else didn't. Much love for you, Coach." End quote. So that from Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard stealing your phrase, Carm. I appreciate you. That's a Carmen thing. I don't hear anybody else saying that except you.
I do enjoy and I appreciate you.
You do. You throw it around. Yeah. You throw it around. People enjoy it.
That's interesting that Jordan Howard said that, too, because fifth-round draft pick, a lot of coaches might have just kind of fluffed off who's this fifth-round running back, but he did give him an opportunity. So I think that was some heartfelt words from Jordan Howard.
Oh, sure. Yeah, if you're a guy who knows somebody actually went out on a limb for him, it's good to finally, it's good to man up and say, hey, listen, I owe this guy something, even though everybody else in town was calling for his head on a spike, which we were. Somebody's got to go. You got a clean house.
It was time.
It was time. It's been time for a long time.
The top five at five.
All right, that was a top five at five. On the other side of the news, did you make some resolutions? Do you think you're going to stick to them? Well, Chicago ranks, we'll tell you where it ranks, about cities where you can actually keep your resolutions, and we'll also talk to a psychology professor who will give you some tips as to why you might have some trouble and how to make sure your resolutions stay good. We're getting a lot of texts in, Carm, about this towel situation. People are curious. Can you give us any sort of detail? Are they cotton? Are they bamboo? What are they made of? Are they big fluffy towels? Are they dish towels? Are they ShamWows? What's going on? Just a little hint.
Any form of towel you would want, I can get you. I've got
Is that right?
Yes. If you want a dish towel, great towel. If you want a bathroom towel, tremendous towel. I really enjoy the bathroom towel.
Can I get a bath mat as well?
You could have a bath mat. If you have a dog, I've got dog towels for you. Like you can, it has a little room for the head and the body, the whole thing.
You're so kidding me.
Nope. Got a dog towel for you. Interested in a dog towel?
You know what I do? I just use my old bathroom towels for dog towels.
Right.
And but so, now I'd have a specific towel for my dog.
Yes, that actually fits on the animal.
I don't give them baths and then have them walk around with the tiara or the turban around their head made out of a towel like Ferris Bueller. They're just, towel them off.
But you could now.
I could. Yes. Sure. I like to leave my options open.
Right. So,
Carm, you are piquing everyone's interest.
You give me your address, Brian. I'm going to send you some towels.
This is unbelievable.
Yep.
It's a whole big towel. Well,
that's what I do for you.
Listen, I appreciate you, Carm. Yes. There you go. Sounds weird coming out of my mouth.
Revere Mills bath towels. If we're really going there.
All right. We did. We just did. Yeah. That's what we had to do. The people wanted to know. You bring up a towel situation. Yeah. You claim you have a towel guy. You can hook a guy up with any towel he needs, and then you just leave us hanging.
Yeah, well,
right now there's people with wet dogs sitting at home going, "How will I ever dry my dog off? Right. I wish I had a towel that was specific to my canine needs." And now, boom.
There it is.
Here comes Carm.
There it is.
Steve Dale's ears perked up just like a dog. He's like, what? A dog-specific towel? This can't be. And yet it is.
I hope Steve Dale has my phone number. I don't know if he does, but I'd love to connect with Steve Dale.
Wow. People are very, very excited about the towel situation. I'm excited about a lot of things. One of them is that it's time for the news. It's 5:30 on 720 WGN. Thank you, Kim. Kim had mentioned that she made a New Year's resolution to get up and walk around at work a little bit and keep moving. Carmen said he was going to starve himself as his New Year's resolution, which I hope you were kidding, Carm. We don't want to.
I don't want to see wasting away. I'm kidding. I'm looking at my dinner menu right now, debating a Cajun crusted trout.
Ooh,
perhaps a Tennessee hot chicken.
Both sound delicious.
Yes.
Where's that from?
That's Doc B's right down the street.
Is that right? That sounds delicious.
Yes. Love Doc B's.
I've never been.
Salad with the sweet potatoes in it. The best.
Which one is that? I'll figure it out.
Yeah,
never mind.
It's a good one.
Continue the show. I'm sorry.
No, that's
add
all right.
Chicken,
listen.
Add chicken.
Now everybody's going to be worried about Karm's dinner choices. Oh, he should have the trout. But the point was that people are making New Year's resolutions. I did not make a New Year's resolution, but we all do it. Why? And where? Why do some of us succeed and some of us fail? I don't know. But thankfully, I can speak to a Professor Gabrielle Otenin. She is a professor of psychology at New York University, and she joins me now on WGN. Gabrielle, thank you for joining me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Now, I have to ask, did you set any New Year's resolutions?
Actually, I did not.
Ah. Now, all right. Oh, go ahead. Why?
Yeah, because I make resolutions all the time, every day. So, you know, the 31st and the 1st, these are 2 days.
That's kind of what I was saying earlier, that, you know, just because it's New Year's, I don't need to label a resolution. I make changes throughout the year and do things, you know, make, you can call them resolutions, you can call them goals, whatever you want. Why do people feel so much pressure to make a resolution at the end of the year?
Well, you could talk about pressure, but you could also talk about a chance, because you could say the old year is gone and this is a new beginning. So I can start from anew. I can leave all my kind of mistakes behind me and I can start anew. So it's a big chance, the New Year's resolution. It's a good point of, you know, just starting anew and thinking about what do I really want.
And does labeling them as a New Year's resolution, does that put too much importance on them, or deter some people from making them? Because, like, boy, it's heavy to be a New Year's resolution. If in March I failed, then I've kind of thrown the year away.
Yeah, it depends on how you frame it for yourself. If you say it's a New Year's resolution and I really think about what I really want and I think about a New Year's resolution that is feasible for me and that is still a little challenging, then it might not be such a pressure, but it might be seen as a chance to actually improve. And that's great.
Well, we should always be looking to improve ourselves. Why does it seem when you talk to people, and you've talked to many people over the years, their resolutions, they don't quite measure up. They fail at them, for lack of a better term. Why is it that we set unrealistic goals? Is it we try to do too much? What is it that causes so many people to fail at their resolutions?
Well, it can be multi-causal. So you can fail because you don't hit the right resolution. You don't think enough in terms of what is it that I really want. Or you fail on the resolution because you dream along, oh, yeah, I will do it. Oh, yeah, sure. And then once the obstacles come, you get setbacks, and then you don't really pursue despite the setbacks. So in our research over the last 20 years, we found that these positive thinking, these positive dreaming about fulfilling these resolutions or about fulfilling our wishes is actually harmful when it comes to realizing our wishes. So the more people, for example, dreamt about success in a weight reduction program or success in transitioning into work life, in university graduate, or success in doing well in an exam, the less well they did and the less effort they put into achieving their wishes.
Really?
Dreaming alone doesn't cut it.
Oh, sure. No, dreaming alone doesn't cut it. But does that mean that all the people who preach like positive visualization, that if you picture yourself doing something, you can do it? Does that negate all of that?
Yeah, it's not enough. It's simply not enough. You can start with dreaming about
right.
The future of success. That's the right thing to do, because these positive fantasies and daydreams about the future give action the direction. But if you then dream along and think everything will work out, that's not the right way to go.
So visualizing is fine.
Yeah, visualizing is fine as a start.
Right.
But this positive thinking alone is just not enough.
No, every you need the work. Explain, because you've talked to people too about not only setting resolutions about health or weight or this or that, but you talk about financial resolutions too, because that's another big one that people make. I'm going to do better with my money this year. I'm going to spend less. I'm going to invest more. And you have an experiment that is called WHOOP. Can you explain that?
Yeah, actually, this is WHOOP is a four-step strategy, which is a result from many experiments which we did in the lab and in the field over the past 20 years. And it has four steps. WHOOP is actually an acronym of the four steps where you really can change your behavior. So the first one is you look for a wish that is actually very important to you. To you, not other people, to you, and which is feasible for you, but it's still challenging. So that's the W in WHOOP. Then you think about what would be the best thing, the nicest outcome, if I fulfilled myself that wish. And that's the first O. And then you identify that outcome. And you imagine that outcome, and that's this positive thinking. Yeah, you do positive thinking. But then stop it. Then you change gears. Then you say, what is it in me that stands in the way that I fulfill my wish and experience that outcome? What is my main inner obstacle? So no excuses now. So what is it really that hinders me of fulfilling my wish? And that's the second O. That's the obstacle. And then you imagine that obstacle. And then finally, you think about, what could I do to overcome my obstacle, my inner obstacle? What is an action I could do or a thought I could think in order to deal with that obstacle? And then you make a simple if-then plan in the form of if, and yet now you imagine the obstacle. Then I will, and now you imagine the behavior to overcome obstacles. And that's the P, the plan. So the whole thing is wish, outcome, obstacle, plan. So it's a four-step strategy which you can apply in 5 minutes. You just need to have 5 minutes just for yourself, uninterrupted, quiet, and slow. And it's an imagery technique which you can apply to anything, to health, to achievement, to financial, to interpersonal, to pro-social, whatever your wish is about.
And it can be short-term or long-term, correct?
It can be short-term. It can be for the next hour. It can be for the next day, for the next week, for the next 4 weeks, for the next year. Or you ask yourself, what is it that I want in my life? So it can be open-ended. What is it that my wish is all about? Not the wishes of others. The wish, what do I want? It can be an interpersonal wish. It can be a wish for your family. But it needs to be feasible for you, something you can do, and it needs to be challenging.
Okay, but is the challenging part, that's where I think some people, and correct me if I'm wrong, some people make the mistake, they wish for things that are too challenging. There's a difference, right, between something that's going to take effort and work and something that is, there's no possible way you can achieve that.
Exactly. So these no possible ways you can achieve that, and all these things outside in the world which you can't change anyway, these are nice wishes, but you can't change them. You can't do anything about them. So the wish needs to be something that you can fulfill yourself and fulfill yourself within the time frame that you choose. So the wish can be something like, you know, lose a couple of pounds, but not I lose 20 pounds in a week. But it needs to be something that is really dear to your heart. So ask yourself, what do I really want? And many people just don't find the possibilities of asking themselves, what do I really want? So that's the first step. because whoop works if you find the wish that is really important to you.
Well, a lot of people, I think, have trouble worrying about what they really want at the expense of, you know, what they try to either please somebody in their family or do some other things. So that's a very important point. It's got to be, as you said, something that is dear to you, something that really impacts you personally.
Exactly. So it needs to be something, and it can be very interpersonal. So, you know, to have a better relationship to a family member or to make up with a friend or to have a better harmonious relationship to your boss or whatever. It can be anything interpersonal, but it needs to be something that is relevant for you.
And if this is something that interests you, it sounds like a very simple plan. Whoop, wish, outcome, obstacle, plan. You can go to whoopmylife.org and download the app and learn all about the program. Doctor, thank you so much for joining me today. Gabrielle Otenin is a professor of psychology at New York University. Happy New Year. And, you know, I liked your theory of, you know, you make resolutions all the time. So don't feel the pressure to do it today or tomorrow. Thanks again and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, and Happy New Year, and Happy Whooping.
Happy Whooping. There you go. Professor Gabrielle Otenin and whoopmylife.org. Wish, outcome, obstacle, plan. There you go. All right. Just real quick, there was a study done, and I'll tell you this after. Where did Chicago fall on cities, the best and worst cities for keeping your New Year's resolution? We'll talk about that. And I have some advice for Carm, because the poor kid, he can't decide where to get his dinner, what he's going to have. There's a lot going on. So a lot to get to. We'll do it after this on WGN. Your success or failure with your New Year's resolution may have less to do with willpower or the resolution itself as it does with where you live. A new study from WalletHub came up with the best and worst cities for keeping your New Year's resolutions. They ranked it based on health resolutions, financial resolutions, school and work resolutions, bad habit resolutions, and relationship resolutions. They did all of these scores. They figured out which city was best. Seattle, Washington is the best city overall for keeping your resolutions. Chicago came in 25th on a list of, I don't know, they had a couple hundred, 200 and some cities.
Not so terrible.
Yeah, no, 25th is pretty good out of 182 cities. They're saying here we rank 15th for our health resolutions for keeping them. Unfortunately, 162nd when it comes to our financial resolutions, school or work resolutions, again, 168, but then 48 for bad habit resolutions, and number 5 for relationship resolutions. So if you've made a relationship resolution, there's a good chance living here in Chicago you're going to be successful, which may lead to the fact that your financial resolution is bad, because if you're in a relationship, you're dumping a lot of dough on your significant other. Sure. Unless you are a financially sound couple, which a lot of couples are not, especially early in the relationship.
Hitting many nails on the head here. Keep going.
In the throes of, you know, young passion, things get going. Now, Carm, and I don't want to get too personal, so stop me if I do. You've made it no secret that you have a lady friend.
I'm 9 months deep here.
All right, 9 months. That's a good. That's pretty good, because a study. You know, I love fake science. I'm trying to get funded for many, many studies. I want to get want people to give me money so I can ask people goofy questions. When you first started dating, let's go back to month 1 and 2 of the Carm experience. How often were you seeing this young lady?
Let's go with like a 3 a week.
3 a week. Yeah. Not too bad. Because experts say a new couple should only see each other twice a week. Twice a week. Because you don't want to overthink it. You don't want emotion to suddenly take over. And you think that the thrill, the swell of young love is what things are going to be all the time. Experts say new couples should try to curb their enthusiasm by only seeing each other twice a week. Twice.
We were intentional about that, for the record. I mean, when you get to my advanced age, you tend to learn things over the
right,
course of time.
Right, 27, you want to, you know.
Right, thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Yeah, so that was considered.
Was it written? Now, see, that's very mature that you talked about that. Because a lot of, you know, sometimes you get in a new relationship. Now, I haven't been in a new relationship for 25 years. I've been in the same old relationship. So, you know, we see each other every day. Nothing you can do about that. But I remember when we were first dating, you know, back, if my memory serves me, we wanted to see each other as often as possible. It was a couple, three times a week, like you said. But they're saying the problem with people getting together too often. Some couples may find that they can spend every night together in the very beginning and they make it work. It's not a formula that will result in long-term romantic success. So, because your feelings are being intensified and you think that that's what it's going to be like all the time. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. So at what point did you decide, all right, we can go three times a week?
I don't remember an exact time, but it was, you know, you build the stable foundation. It's not all about early relationship, lustful type of thing.
Were you asked about this by experts? Because you're giving exact answers. It's beautiful.
I have done some work on this, Brian.
Have you?
I have.
You're a man who's self-aware.
He's a seasoned professional.
Yes. Listen to him, Kim. He sounds like he's evolving. Karma is not just
a good thing.
It is, no, it's a great thing.
It's frightening.
I think everyone should evolve. You know, some people need to devolve a little because they think they're too hoity-toity. But I think evolving is good. So you're saying back in the day you would want to be with someone all the time. It was you were thirsty for their affection.
Yes, I would be over the top, crazy, all that.
But that gets boring, too, because
when
you're with that person all the time, there's nothing, anything new to talk about.
Right. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Absolutely.
I firmly believe that part of the reason my marriage has lasted over 25 years was because the first years I was on the road. So I'd be gone for 3 or 4 days, and then I'd come home, and my wife would be happy to see me. Then as soon as she started getting sick of me, I was on the road again. It was perfect. And the balance worked out nicely. So,
how's it going now?
Well, you know, we're empty nesters.
That's right.
So it's, you know.
And that changes everything.
It's a war of attrition now, Kim. It does change everything.
It's good, especially if you're really friends with your spouse. It's a good thing. I love being an empty nester.
It is. We're doing a lot of stuff. We're, people comment, oh, you seem to be having a lot of fun. I don't, you know, we have days like everybody else. But it's, you learn that, okay, now the focus is not on the child anymore. You're always worried about your kids. But they're not really there all the time. And so you can pursue different interests. You can, not do anything. You don't have to run on a Saturday morning to take the kid to practice or something. It does change the dynamic.
I'm a big fan of the third.
The third?
Well, your first third, you're going to school. You're figuring yourself out. Your second third, hopefully you're making some dough and you're in your career. And then your third, hopefully you've done okay. And then you can figure out whatever, the kids are out. And then you can actually figure out what you want to do, contribute to society, follow your heart, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, that's kind of a utopian way of life going. Sometimes you got to work hard in your third. But in theory, I like the concept that I just laid out.
I like your concept too. How's it going as you approach your fourth?
I'm in the second third.
You're in the second third,
and I'm slow to get going. So I mean, if I actually do follow through and have children and whatnot, my third is going to be like when I'm 78.
Listen, Tony Randall had kids up till he was 90. I think you're fine, Carl. Cool. I wouldn't put a lot of pressure on it.
I just got to do a lot of yoga. That's the key.
Is that right? Stay loose. Stay flexible.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to be flexible. You can't be an old man. You can't be the old man chasing a little kid around and they go, "Oh, is your grandfather taking you to school today?" No, that's my dad. Can't you hear his hips from a mile away creaking? You don't want to be that guy.
We don't want that.
No, nobody should want to be that guy. You know, if you're 70, you should be done having kids. That's it. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't think it's fair to the kid.
No, it's definitely not fair to the kid. It's not fair to the younger spouse or baby mama, if you want to put it in the parlance of the street.
what? It's never had it put quite that way. That was well said.
Thank you. But it's not fair. And I've thought this for years, but people get all upset. You should be able to have kids whenever you want. Sure, I guess. But no, you're not. When you're 70, you're done. Pull the plug. You're dried up. Even if you still have the physical ability to make a child at that age, you have a responsibility not to.
Well, Clooney just went 56. So when the kid is 20, 76, if he makes it that far, then if he's 30, he's 80. I mean, he'll be lucky to see his kid he'll be lucky to be at his kid's wedding.
Well, right. But then people will say, and I am not one of them, well, it's George Clooney. He's got a lot of money and help, so he doesn't actually have to be a hands-on. He may be a hands-on father. I don't know. I want to think George Clooney's a nice guy, just from his public persona.
If you told me to, I could be born into the Clooney Foundation, and
yes,
I probably would say yes to that.
Yeah, and your dad, you know, but would you make that trade off if you said, all right, you could be, here's the deal, Carm, you could be born into George Clooney's family, mm-hmm. which you know, generational wealth, you're good to go, everything's fine. However, your father might not be around after you turn 15.
I mean, if the choice is never be born or be in the Clooney Foundation, I'll take being born and dealing with the fact that my dad's super old.
Okay, but what if you were given the...
I'd rather have a 30-year-old dad.
Yeah, sure, because then you're 15, your dad. Hopefully your dad's still around.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's about the experiences, too.
Yes, because, listen, we didn't have...
I mean, yeah, with George Clooney as your dad, you'll fly the private jet, but, right. you know, how do you know that he's going to be able to come to your baseball games or teach yes. you to play soccer or football or whatever it is?
Yeah, because no matter what, I mean, we didn't have a ton of dough growing up, but my dad was able to come to... you know, all our sporting events and take us places and do stuff with us. So that's what, you know, that's what you got to look at. All right. It's 5 o'clock or it's six o'clock already. Carm, you're only an hour away from your show.
Thanks,
time
Brian.
Flies.
Wow. Time does fly when you're talking about Clooney.
This show's been cooking, baby.
Listen, what can I tell you? We're just percolating. All of us firing on four cylinders. Boom. Camille, Carm, Kim, and me. That's it. Oh, a lot of alliteration there.
Say.
Camille, Carmen, Kim, and then there's me. I throw off the whole thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter because this is Chicago's very own. On Wednesday, oh Kim, those are the most depressing temperatures ever. At the end of every newscast,
I
enjoy your newscast
until
the last few seconds, and I'm like, oh. So -2, -2, and then
we're at 17 below
right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is very
with the wind
exciting.
Chill.
17 below. Well, and people are still out, and they're still pushing. I just saw somebody walking by pushing a baby in a buggy. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
I know. I hope they're bundled up.
I hope so, too, because there's I understand. If you came into Chicago for your holiday vacation, you're going to go out because it's like, well, I came here. I'm not going to sit in the hotel. But if you live here, this is not the time to be out.
No, it isn't.
Oh, boy.
If you are out, cover your face because it burns.
Well, yeah, that's... I'm like, oh, I try to do pretty much, but I didn't bring anything to cover. But I'm only walking to the car. I'm not going to, you know. But I see people... I still see people walking outside with no hats. You're a lunatic. If you're not wearing a hat, you're kind of goofy. I don't think of Lake Superior State University except for one day a year, and it has turned into one of my favorite days of the year, when Lake Superior State University releases their annual list of banished words. Now, this is not an official list. These words will still be out there. People will still say them and write them. But every year for the past 43 years, Lake Superior State University has decided that they will release this list of words banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness. It was started by W.T. Rabe, a public relations director at Lake Superior State. They first came up with the list of words and phrases that people love to hate at a New Year's Eve party in 1975 and published it on January 1st, 1976. He and his friends created the first list from their own pet peeves about language. He knew from the volume of mail he received in the following weeks that the group would have no shortage of words and phrases from which to choose for 1977. So that's how it started. And I will open it up to you because I always enjoy hearing words or phrases that you wish could be banished, not only for the next year, but forever from our lexicon. 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text. So it is. It's always exciting. This year, A number of words that I agree with wholeheartedly, and some words that I really didn't care one way or another. All right, we'll start with unpack. Unpack. It's a misused word for analyze, consider, and assess. Concepts or positions are not packed, they say, so they don't need to be unpacked. A lot of this in lists past, and perhaps lists now, a lot of jargon from the business world. Drill down is one of the ones that's on the list this year. How many times have you heard that in business? People will say, have you drilled down to the final? Let's drill down. We got to drill down. Do they tell you, Kim, not to use certain words? Or, I mean, as style guides, or do you just, you know, as a journalist, some words and phrases are just, they have no meaning anymore.
Right. We try to be conversational, you
sure.
know, when we actually give the news, so it sounds like we're talking to you and not talking down to you or being so formal.
Right.
So we do have some words that we don't like to use. Sometimes we use them, but for the most part, it's, you know, we try to be not, you know, street
well, you were,
cool, but
you were here when
to get
they
the message across as if it's a conversation.
A number of managements ago, there was an
the
edict,
little bingo game.
Yes,
yeah,
where, yeah, where we were so you were supposed to use really almost Ebonics. They wanted things to get really, really all journalistic guidelines were kind of tossed away.
Right.
You know, there's a difference between being conversational and sounding lazy and uneducated. Trust
Correct.
Me. Trust me. I know. I've made a living out of it. Next one on the list, tons, refers to an exaggerated quantity, as in tons of sunshine or tons of work. Lots would surely I'll say tons every once in a
I
while.
I use that way too much. I always say to my kids, love you tons. You know, if I'm sending a text or something, okay. I always do that.
Yeah, I'll say there's tons of laundry to do or, you know, but okay, I guess. So that one I was on the fence, which probably should be on there too, on the fence. Dish, as in to dish out the latest rumor on someone, let's go back to talks about and leave dishes in the cupboard. Yeah. I don't have a strong pre-owned. I used to like when you just bought a used car. Now everything is pre-owned. No, it's used. Used is fine, right? We don't need to. You dress it up by saying pre-owned, then you can charge more.
Right, and then you also hear too when you if your cell phone breaks and you send it back or something, they always say refurbished. It's not refurbished.
No, it's damaged. Something's wrong
right.
with it.
Something's wrong with it. Yeah, and they try to fix it and they send it back to you and it's still damaged.
Yeah, this is no. Refurbished doesn't work. From a texter, let's see. At the end of the day, and that being said, that from the 219, yes, I would agree with that. That's, again, it's a lot of people who, I think a lot of these phrases are just because people like to hear themselves talk. And they want to use terms that they think are make them sound more important, but they really don't. Onboarding and offboarding. We used to have hiring, training, and orientation. Now we need to have an onboarding process. Firings, quittings, and retirements are streamlined into offboarding. And again, that's corporate speak.
Yeah, that's corporate.
We don't have that here.
Is fake news on there?
Oh, that it was there. Yes, fake news is there. Was their top word? Fake news. Once upon a time, they say, stories could be empirically disproved. Now, fake news is any story that you disagree with. I hate that term, fake news.
Yeah.
I hate it with a passion.
And then when you throw the hashtag on there, too, it just makes it worse.
And that's true. Anything you disagree with, it doesn't matter how many facts, you just say fake news. And it's lazy. It's a lazy argument. And when people actually say it with sincerity, it drives me crazy. My own mother used it in a sincere way the other night. We were all out to dinner, and she said something about, I don't listen to the fake news. And my brothers and I all, it was almost like the biggest spit take without actually spitting. Our heads just snapped. Like, what?
Everybody's head just went into a circle.
Yeah, it's like, what? And my daughter almost exploded. She was like, was Grandma serious? I think Grandma was serious. So yes, fake news needs to, we need to get rid of fake news from the top down. I don't care who you are. I don't care what office you hold. It's not fake news. Nothing burger. Nothing says nothing doesn't. Nothing says nothing that nothing does it already. I don't even their thing. So nothing burger. I don't hear that. Do you hear that, Camille? Is that a young person saying?
I've never heard
that either.
Me either.
No.
All right, let that sink in. That's another phrase they say needs to be outlawed. One could say shocking, profound, or important. Let that sink in. All right, let me ask you this. Holy Or when people go, I have a question. Just raise your hand. Your hand's up. I know you have a question. We don't need the prelude. Or let me ask you something. No, you don't. Just ask me. Just come right out. Economy of words sometimes is key. Impactful, they say, is a frivolous word groping for something effective or influential. Kofefe made the list, which was a...
We never figured out what that was really all about, did we?
I never did.
No, I don't think we did.
That was, you know, the president mistweeted something years ago. Seems like years ago, doesn't it? But it was only this year sometime. Let's see. My number one is fair trade. That from the 7773. I appreciate you is a phrase to toss away. Oh, man.
Carmen's not going to like
He's
that.
He's not going to like that at all. He's very busy now, so thankfully he didn't hear it or he would probably be crying. Hot water heater. Hot water does not need to be heated. Water heater or hot water maker. Should be it. I guess that's true. And gig economy. We've all heard of this. We live in a gig economy. Gigs are for musicians and stand-up comics, they say, now expanded to imply a sense of freedom and a lifestyle that rejects tradition in a changing economic culture, runs a risk of sharecropping. Well, there you go. I don't know what that means exactly, but yes, the gig economy. You know, people making a living doing a lot of different things. They're not tied down to one job like their old man. I'm not going to work for a company for 30 years. I'm going to drive for Uber, and then I'm going to make coffee, and then I'm going to cut lawns. I'm going to do a lot of different things.
People call that side hustle too.
Side hustle.
Yeah.
Now, I guess if you're, technically a freelancer would be living in a gig economy, but there's certain jobs where that's just. Or certain careers, certain fields where that's just more accepted. You know, designers, things like that. Tons, pre-owned, we did that, impactful, there you go. So that's the list. That's your list of banned words from Lake Superior State University. Always, always fun to go over that list. We'll get to some of yours. Again, 312-981-7200. That's how you can tell us words or phrases that you wish would be banned forever. All right, it's time to do this. Then there's more. It's WGN. Should keep warm here in the Allstate Showcase studio. I picture a gremlin somewhere in this building with his hand on the thermostat because it gets really hot, then it gets really cold. Does it happen that way in the newsroom too, Kim?
Well, I have my bathing suit on right now. Can you tell?
I didn't want to mention it because I don't want to go to, you know, get an HR report on me first day of the year. That would not be that's not a good way to start. But yes, now
it's toasty up here. And it's so funny because last year it was freezing. And so far this winter we've been boiling.
See, and I was really hot early in the show, and now it's freezing again. We were talking about this list from Lake Superior State University of banned words. Again, not an official list. Nobody's going to take these out of the lexicon, but it's words that they wish would be banished for overuse or misuse. So I asked you, 312-981-7200, your list, and we've got some coming in on the text line from the 312. Dive deep. Another one. Somebody said, that's another pet peeve when people start I don't want to begrudge or besmirch youngsters, but it seems like a younger person thing when they start every sentence with I mean. Got into a beef from the 773, got into a beef with a med lab that kept dropping the ball, demanded to talk to the president. She used the phrase circle back 6 times in 10 minutes. I love it. You can circle back. Then you get that in emails a lot. And I've been guilty of using it, and then I stopped and deleted it because I'm like, I don't talk like that. I don't tell somebody I'm going to circle back. I'll say, hey, I'm just confirming. Or I wanted to touch. I'll say touch base occasionally, but that's over you.
I don't like it, but
no.
I do.
But what else, you know, that's when I'm like, all right, I know I can come up with a better way to say it. I just wanted to check in again or check, yeah. You know, something
mine's
like
just
that.
Just making sure. That's mine.
Just making sure. Just making sure is good. Sure. Yeah, just want to, you know. I like that.
I know this has been on lists before, but it just drives me insane when people say whatever.
Oh, that to me is like saying F you to somebody.
Not in an email.
I hate it.
Just in general. Whenever you use it.
Right. Like if Kim was making that point and I just went, whatever. That is the most disrespectful thing anybody could say to you. Oh, I'm with you, Kim. I am on board with that 1,000%. From the 312, feeling badly instead of feeling bad. Feeling badly means your fingers are not working, right? As well, Annette wants to know what happened to also. I think as well. People just want as well sounds more refined, doesn't it? Oh, I'd like to do that as well. Or you as well. You just want to sound highfalutin. Let's see. Somebody likes the term fake news. Not me. So that is that. Jerry wants to jump on. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah. It's oh my God, Brian.
Oh my God. But I'm just, I can't believe it, Jerry. I'm in such shock. I must say, oh my God, or OMG.
Because it's an emotional expression, but yeah, it's for all emotional expressions.
Yes. Well, it's like everything is brilliant or everyone's a genius. You know?
Yeah.
So if everybody's a genius.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Jerry. Yeah. I appreciate it. Happy New Year. Oh my God. I can't believe he said that. Jerry doesn't like that. Well, let's see. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Yeah. I was offering a couple of perfectly good words or a two-word phrase and one word to replace fake news.
Okay.
How about make-believe and fiction.
Yes, those are two perfectly fine words. If you believe something is in fact fiction, then call it fiction. Or make-believe, that's fine. But, you know, just because you don't agree with something, it's not fake news. It's, you know, you just disagree with it.
Right. And when people throw out propaganda, I don't want to hear about spin masters. That stuff went away 20 years ago.
Well, I think people are still trying to spin stories on both sides, Diane. There's a whole lot of people who make a lot of money spinning messages.
That's true, but a DJ can spin the CDs like records. Nonetheless, that was my pet peeve. Fake news is what a lot of baloney. I guess that's another substitute word. But I really think
well, I'm glad you used that substitute word, Diane. Happy New Year. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I understood baloney is the substitute, but I think I'd get tossed. That would be it for me. There'd be nothing. All right. So there you go. We've got some new laws in the state in case you are out and about. You know, living your life, which you are if you are an Illinois resident. Under vehicle code, some of the new laws. I saw this on the news, and I thought this was a great idea. 16 and 17-year-old drivers now have the option to sign up to become organ and tissue donors. Their parents still have to sign consent, but I think that's great. Because kids at that age, they know. They're aware of things. They're woke, as the kids like to say. Is that the correct use of that term, Camille? Are the kids woke?
Are we woke?
I don't know.
I've met some
kids
unwoke.
Some kids. The kids who want to donate their organs.
Well, they should. I hope they would be woke.
I would hope so too.
To do that.
So 16 and 17, you can now sign up to be an organ and tissue donor. They're under DUI laws. It removes the statute of limitations on prosecution for aggravated DUIs causing death. Another good one, I think. This, I hadn't thought about this. But it makes sense, and I know it came about because of one woman's death, which is unfortunate, but maybe that will help down the line. Dealerships are now prohibited from letting motorists drive off the lot in any vehicle with signs, painting, or decals on windows that could obstruct the driver's view. So during test drives, you know, sometimes they'll just slap the plate on the back, but you still have all the signage on there. Or you used to, not anymore, which is very good. Some school laws that have changed. This one just... I know it happens because I've seen it happen, but it just the term preschool expulsions. If your kid's getting expelled at preschool, there's some issues going on there. Well, now early childhood education programs that receive funding from the Illinois State Board of Education will have to find other options to help children who've been expelled from preschool. Wow. How about just a crate? put the kid in a box in your backyard and just talk to her all day. Talk to he or she all day. Public and charter schools will be required to provide reasonable breastfeeding accommodations for schools. That's a new law that went into effect today. Public safety laws that may have gone in. There's a new law for repeat gun offenders. It creates tougher sentencing guidelines for repeat gun offenders while working to keep nonviolent offenders out of prison. There is a new law that creates an imprisonment term for a person who delivers a fatal dose of a controlled substance to another person. There's a new cyber stalking law, intimidation stalking, and cyber stalking, including the transmission of obscene messages, could be considered hate crimes. So stop texting me that emoji giving me the finger, Camille, because that could be considered a hate crime. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. It's wrong. This one, I was going to talk to Steve Dale about this the other day, but we started talking to him about cold weather, which was important. There's a new law that is saying animals, like pets, are now not just going to be considered property, but they are going to give animals the same. They're going to try to figure out who gets to keep the animal in terms of what's in the best interest of the animal now. So your dog will go into court and testify. It'll be one of those, you and the person you're getting a divorce from will be on the other side of the room, and you'll call to your dog, and whoever the dog goes to first, that's who gets it, which is very good.
They should do that with kids.
They kind of do.
Oh, I know.
But, you know,
yeah.
This would be better, except then, you know, your mom or your dad has your favorite treat in your pocket, and then you're lured to them, which is how I'd get the dogs. I want to live with mom. I want to live with mom. Very exciting news. Corn is now the official grain of Illinois. Very, very exciting.
Thank God.
And cycling is the official state exercise. So good to see the lawmakers getting some important stuff done, along with, you know, frivolous things like, you know, organ donation. All right. Are you eating special things on New Year's because you think it helps? We'll share some of that. And, oh, my goodness, a woman gave a party for her husband that you will not believe. All of that in the final half hour of the big broadcast. Right now, though, it is 6:30 on 720 WGN. That means it's news time. Here's Kim Gordon. I will be with you again tomorrow, and Ro and Anna will return on Wednesday, January 3rd. 24 minutes left, then Mark Carmen comes in. I know you've been thinking to yourself, boy, Mark Carmen, we heard him doing sports all afternoon. What do you mean? He's doing the 7 to 11 show, too. The guy works hard. Working very hard. A lot of people have traditions on New Year's that revolve around food. I am not one of them. I just found out that I'm meeting my wife and daughter at Chipotle for dinner.
My grandfather made me eat black-eyed peas every year.
That's a southern thing, right?
Yes. It's supposed to be for good luck.
Somebody, I got a text from somebody who lives in Louisiana, and they said they were eating black-eyed peas. And cornbread goes with it, right?
Yes.
Because the cornbread supposedly represents gold. The color, the cornbread's yellow, so it represents gold. What do black-eyed peas,
I have no idea. I just knew we had to at least have a bite.
And does it matter what time of day you ate them on New Year's Day? Did you have to eat them first thing in the morning? Did you have to eat them, or did it matter?
We usually had a big dinner at my grandparents', okay. So that's when we would have them.
Wow, black-eyed peas. I've never had them. How are they?
They're horrible.
Are they?
they're mushy and they're horrible.
And did they bring you any luck?
I would think I'm pretty lucky.
I was going to say, very lucky
and blessed, so I guess so.
Okay, well, we'll chalk it up to
the black-eyed peas
then. Absolutely. Yeah, whatever. And not Fergie.
Not Fergalicious.
No, even though they may have been Fergalicious to other people.
I think these were probably, Bush's black-eyed peas out of the can.
Listen, however you get them, you get them. See, so that's exactly what I'm talking about. Kim eating black-eyed peas. Other people do it. Long noodles is supposed to be one of them. That's a Chinese and Japanese tradition. They say the longer the noodle, the longer your life. So you're supposed to eat long noodles. I've heard people do this. I have never done it. It's a Spanish tradition. You're supposed to eat 12 grapes in the first 12 seconds after the clock strikes midnight. And that symbolizes 12 lucky months ahead. I've never done that. Pork, they say, is a classic New Year's Day food. It represents prosperity and progress because pigs are known to be plump. So eating pork is supposed to make someone chunky, not with weight gain, but with cash. All right, then I'll definitely have something pork-related tonight when we have dinner. Greg has a food tradition. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Brian. I've gone out for the past couple of New Year's Eves, but growing up, we had pizza rolls every year for New Year's Eve, and that's what I remember about New Year's Eve. And I know it's just like nothing, like exciting, but it's your tradition.
It was
really good. So a couple years ago, I actually went out and I actually asked the person I knew, the owner of the restaurant and bar that I was going to, and I asked him if he would supply pizza rolls. And Brian and Kim, and he did.
Very nice.
That was really cool of him. So
that had to make your New Year's.
It did. I don't know why pizza rolls, though.
Listen.
I just don't. It's like one of those weird cravings, weird things. So last night I didn't have them, and I was feeling a little bit incomplete.
So did you go out and get some today?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
So maybe next New Year's,
All right. Well, good luck and Happy New Year, Greg. Thanks for sharing the story.
Happy New Year to you guys, too. And I love the show, by the way.
Thank you. So. I appreciate it. Take care. Somebody's saying black-eyed peas is not a southern thing. It's a Texas thing. Well, Texas kind of in the south. Let's be honest. I'm going to.
Kind of in the south.
Well, yeah. Now, Kim's
definitely
from. Kim grew up in Kentucky. That's why, and I know friends of mine in Georgia thing. It's a southern thing. Now, you may have done it other places. Don't take offense. People get their undies in a twist. It could be fine. I'm southern and we never did it. Well, that doesn't mean it's not a southern thing just because you're southern and never did it. Somebody from the 773, I ate mine yesterday. I'm a child of a Creole mom born in New Orleans. So there you go. Somebody saying that spaghetti is to be eaten on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. I wonder if that's kind of the long noodle thing. I'll go with the same. I don't, because they don't say why. And let's see. Many Europeans eat fish for New Year's. That is true. That's on this list. Fish, a whole fish. Eating a fish on New Year's has multiple benefits. Fish, first, fish represent prosperity because they always travel in schools. Their scales resemble silver coins. Fish can also bring progress to your life because they always swim forward. I mentioned cornbread. Pomegranates, which I've had, but they say in Turkey, people eat pomegranates for prosperity since the fruit has so many seeds. The more seeds you have in your pomegranate, the richer you will become. Look at that. Circle-shaped foods is on this list. Foods like donuts and bagels represent the year coming full circle. It makes sense because you have to end one year before starting another. See, so I should have had donuts this morning, but that would have gone against my, that would have gone against everything I was trying to do today. Greens, I've heard a lot of people eat greens on New Year's. It says money may grow on trees in the form of vegetables. Greens like spinach, cabbage, and broccoli can bring wealth into your new year because veggies are green like money. And finally, lentils. It says Italians eat lentils on New Year's because they represent luck and prosperity due to their similar appearance to coins. So there you go. That's it. We never had any, you know, the Irish, we're just, you know, we're usually drinking still from the night before. So that's, and then something starchy to soak it all up.
Yeah. I was just informed we got a lot of food back at my house.
Is that right?
I'm going to make it home. I just got the text.
Good for you.
Yeah.
They texted you. Listen, don't stick around. Get out of there as fast as you can. You must flee.
Run home.
Oh, Peter Fasano says we celebrate with pies. Well, sure. Peter Fasano from Fasano Pies. My husband of Norwegian extract has pickled herring. I've heard of that too. Yeah, I probably should try some, but it doesn't sound appetizing.
Why?
I don't know. You know, I see that kind of stuff, and it's like, eh. I have greens powder. We'll have a cup before bedtime. So there you go. Very nice. All right. Since we were talking about words before, we were talking about the banned words list. The learning app, language learning app Babbel, put on out a list. They commissioned a U.S. captioning company, an organization for captioning professionals, to identify prominent words in 2017 that were tough for people to say on TV. And I found this kind of interesting because I remember when some of these words came out and people were stumbling over them, not only here, but in general conversation on TV. And who was Wonder Woman? Do you know who played Wonder Woman?
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot is exactly how you pronounce her name. She's on this list. The Israeli actress who starred...
Gal Gadot?
Gal Gadot, yes. But people, her last name is sometimes mispronounced with the silent
Gadot.
T. Yes, but it is Gadot. Hello, David Jennings. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
David Jennings taking over the anchor chair. He will be starting at 7. First report?
Yes, sir.
All right, just checking. Good to have you along. Here's one. What is the fear of clowns? I will have to pronounce it. Coulrophobia. But it's spelled C-O-U-L-R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A. And it is pronounced coulrophobia. And it started coming, it started making more of an appearance when It came out again.
Hmm.
The new It movie. Have you seen that?
No, I am too scared.
My daughter wanted to watch it. My wife said, absolutely not. My wife has, irrational fears of clowns, etc. Japanese word referring to the out-of-focus areas of a photograph. Camille, I'll let you know this one. B-O-K-E-H.
Bokeh?
Bokeh. Very bokeh. Good. Bokeh. Now, see, I don't know that word.
I just recently learned it. Because I thought it was aesthetically pleasing. And then I just found out it had a word for it.
Bokeh.
So, yeah,
we got a lot of compliments on that photograph you took.
Oh, good.
That when Belinda Chang was in here.
Yeah.
You're very nice.
I just booked my first real photography gig.
Did you really?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Wow, what are you going to be shooting?
A wedding.
Really?
Yes.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. Thank you.
That is, somebody's trusting you to shoot their wedding.
I'm a little nervous. It's friends, though, so hopefully they won't hate me after it.
No, I'm sure they won't. You're not using just your phone, are you?
Oh, should I get a camera?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'll be honest. My daughter used, she's got a newer phone than I do. I think I have a 6 or something. And she has a portrait setting on her.
That's what I used for the Belinda's photo.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because we were having some trendy hot chocolate yesterday. And she was like, oh, wait, she wanted me to take her picture. But she goes, I have to put it on portrait setting. I'm like, what?
Yep.
And
it's awesome.
Then she took one of me, and I was like, wow, look at that.
Fancy.
Yeah, it is fancy. I get a new phone. All right. Kim Jong-un called President Trump this, D-O-T-A-R-D.
Oh.
D-O-T-A-R-D.
Dotard.
Ah, dotard. I always thought it was dotard.
That's what I thought.
But it's dotard. David is correct. Because he's a journalist. Very good, David. Dotard.
Thank you.
Lady Gaga had this. She became a public figure for the illness. It's a chronic illness with symptoms such as widespread muscular pain. F-I-B-R-O-M-Y-A-L-G-I-A.
Fibromyalgia?
Yes, very good. See, these don't seem very hard to me. That's why I'm surprised that so many people had the trouble. All right. This goes back. Many, many people mispronounce this. Former President Bush used to mispronounce it all the time. The second President Bush.
Nuclear?
Yes. Very good, David.
As soon as you said it, I was like,
very
has
good.
To be nuclear. It's nuclear.
It's nuclear. It's always nuclear. It's never nuclear. But a lot, and I don't mean, you know, I'm not throwing the ex-president under the bus, but he was famous for saying nuclear. So a lot of people say that. The capital of North Korea. P-Y-O-N-G-Y-A-N-G. Pyongyang.
Thank you. I wasn't even going to try.
That's all right. And the president mispronounced this country as Nambia. It is M-A-N-A-M-I-B-I-A.
Namibia?
Namibia. Correct. Namibia. There you go. We got pretty good pronunciation here at WGN. We're doing all right. I think we'll let these other TV people, and of course Puerto Rico is on there. Puerto Rico, but not Puerto Rico. Just Puerto Rico. You don't have to go all crazy with Puerto. All right, let's do this. Then this could be I like when people throw parties. I would someday somebody might throw me a party. I don't know if this is the party that I want them to have. But we will discuss it as we get ready to say hello to Mark Carr. Brian Noonan in for Roanana. I'll be with you again tomorrow from 3 to 7. And then Roanana will be back on Wednesday. Mark Carman coming up after 7 o'clock with more Bears talk. I know he's going to talk to Adam Hoge, who was at the Ryan Pace press conference today, and then Dan Hampton, and a lot of other frivolity. We'll talk to Carman in a couple minutes. Let's go back real quickly. People taking umbrage. Somebody taking umbrage with Kim's description that black eyed peas were mushy and nasty. Says black eyed peas are delicious, especially when flavored with salt pork or bacon. They're creamy and smooth, not mushy. It's a southern tradition. Somebody else saying the black eyed peas dish is also called Hoppin' John. So a lot to get to. And people say you can substitute any beans on New Year's Day and you'll still get the same kind of deal. All right. I saw this. People will celebrate anything, and people love the quest these days. Seems you got to go viral, right? You want your tweet to go viral or your video to go viral or something. If it doesn't go viral, your life is pretty much a failure. Let's be honest. So to that end, my life is pretty much a failure. I've never had anything go viral. But there was a Facebook post that went viral, and a lovely woman decided she was going to have a party for her husband, but not until she made an announcement on Facebook that she and her husband, John, were not going to have any more children. Now, I like social media, and I'm on there, you know, for the show and my own personal stuff. I like to share some things, but there's certain things I think should be kept private. Call me old-fashioned if you must. I don't know, your decision not to add any more children to your family, good for you. I've got no problem with the decision. I'm wondering if Facebook is the place to do it. She said in her video, "We feel like two is plenty for us. We were lucky enough to be blessed with one of each, and we know sometimes that isn't always the case," which is terrific. Again, good for you. God bless you. You got two kids. Terrific. Now comes the oddity. So this guy, John, knows his wife has already undergone two C-sections when she delivered the baby. A lot of oversharing here. We know a lot about this woman. We know a lot about the guy. We're about to find out more. Because John volunteered to go under the knife and get a vasectomy. Again, common procedure. I know people who've had them. They choose to do it. That's fine. Years and years and years ago, one prominent radio personality in town had his done on the air. You look confused, Camille. Oh, who's Steve Dahl?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, he did his. That was, boy, I can't remember how long ago that was. It was a long time. But anyway, so he decides he volunteers. And she said, oh, he's very selfless in that way, very compassionate and caring. We couldn't be happier with our little family. Well, now that, again, a lot of couples are going to have a nice private thing. You know, maybe you tell some friends, tell your family, oh, hey, I'm doing this. I know somebody who had it. They told me, oh, so we joked about a bag of peas, whatever. That was it. Well, she decided to throw her husband a surprise party for the occasion with a hilarious twist. She had a balls voyage vasectomy party. Yes. Yes. I knew you'd appreciate this, Jennings. I knew if anybody liked it, you'd be the man.
I like her style.
All-out celebration, the balls voyage, complete with all of the pun-intended trimmings. From a surgery glove packed with ice full of frozen peas, an athletic cup and ding-dongs, to extra tender beef jerky, milk duds, snip cake, and a piping hot dish of meatballs and little sausages, Kimberly went all out for the balls voyage party.
Oh, man. I'd love to get a look at the husband's face.
There's a part of me.
When the menu was run down to him, what they would be serving. There are certain moments that are priceless. That's one of mine now.
The Balls Voyage party?
Yes, that's that's priceless.
Well, you better go on Facebook. I'm sure you could still see the video. Pardon me. Jason can be seen wearing a Time to Retire the Swim Team t-shirt. He's got his two kids. The kids are wearing matching Swim Team Survivor t-shirts.
The kids were there?
Well, of course the kids were there. Why wouldn't you have your kids there if you're going to do a Balls Voyage celebration? So this is bad business. All the sports guys are coming in. Must be a big day in sports town. As I tease, because I've been teasing Carmen all day. When I told him this morning that 30,000 people had shared the post, he was floored. Jason does have a sense of humor. He got a kick out of the thoughtful Balls Voyage party and truly appreciated the effort. He was more than thrilled with the party. I don't know if I could say the same. The only thing funnier than the party itself were the hashtags Kimberly used on the Facebook announcement. Hashtag Team No More Babies. Hashtag Team Snip Snip Hooray. And hashtag Recreational Use Only. So there you go. Balls Voyage party, Carm.
That's huge.
That's is that your hot take on it?
Yeah.
It is huge?
I caught it. We were traveling.
I know you were. Yes, you were coming down. I'm surprised to see young Harry Tynowitz here. Not so young anymore. But hi, Harry. How are you?
Hi, Brian. Always a pleasure.
It is a pleasure.
Yeah, I enjoyed hearing you a little more often than I normally do during the holidays.
Well, thank you. That was very nice of you. Carmen made it seem like he was hosting by himself, Harry. He left you out of all the pre-show buildup. That's why I was surprised to see you come in, because Carmen made it sound like he was going to roll down here after a hard day doing sports updates and then have to shoulder the load of a four-hour program by himself.
Well, you know, I think that's why Carm likes me, because I've been in radio 23
long
years.
It's been that long. It seems like forever. 23 years is a long time.
Yeah, I have no time. You know, I've been humbled. I've been humbled far too often to care about whether or not Carm is mentioning me, and he goes out of his way for me constantly.
That's
just
nice.
So you know.
And you get paid either way, whether he mentions you or not.
Right, I get the $2 bills.
Yes,
are outside.
I saw them tacked up to the wall. That's why I was curious. Mm-hmm. I knew Carmen only works for $5 bills.
Yeah. But there's too much angst in radio.
Everybody's worried.
Oh. Yeah, I say save the drama for your mama.
Is that what you say?
Mm-hmm.
Often? Do you say that often?
I say that often.
All right, very good. I like it. It rhymes.
I'd like to personally apologize to both Harry and you for improperly divulging who was on the show, everything that I've done.
Don't apologize
wrong.
To me, because I'm leaving in 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Well,
I'll listen in the car to the on-air tension that I'm sure has been created by this.
Wasn't that, when you were single, wasn't that your pickup line?
That's right. Don't worry, baby. I'm out of here in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. They're like, that's 2 minutes too long. I said, well, I understand. So now I know this, as I said to Carm earlier, Harry, this is a a big day, because normally you think, well, New Year's Day, not much is going to be happening, but we kind of saw this coming. It is huge.
Oh, yeah. It's big. It's a whole new year. And
John Fox is gone, so that's the big sports news.
Yeah, so what'll the Bears do next? And now we'll all gravitate towards the fact that we have a quarterback that was worthy of the second pick in the draft, yes, and we can build around him. And,
sure, well, that's what they keep saying.
And the honorary McCaskey, Ted Phillips, is taking us to the next victim.
Yeah. Now, Carm was opining earlier that perhaps Ted Phillips should have, that would have been big news if he was gone today.
I think that would have been incredibly sweet if he just stepped up to the podium.
Incredibly sweet.
No, see, Ted Phillips doesn't need to go
anywhere.
See, what the Cubs did with Crane Kenny was great. They said, we're going to
move him.
Yeah.
Crane's
really smart. Crane is going to do the business side. Theo is really awesome with players. Theo's going to do the team side. Yes. That's what the Bears need to do with Ted Phillips.
That's exactly what
that's what
to.
I was saying. I think I would have been incredibly sweet if he stepped up there and said, I'm making an announcement. I am just going to be ahead of our business. We feel like there's been a lack of a football presence in our room that we want to add on, and we're going to bring in XYZ as president, who's going to work with Ryan, and Ryan will be spearheading the charge to find our next head coach.
Very nice.
And we also thank John Fox for all his contributions, whatever they were.
Well, I know you're talking Bears in the first hour. What else is on the program? Anything else, or is it all Bears for 4 hours?
Oh, no. This is that might be the only sports we do, in fact.